Excuse me.
That is staying in, even if I edit everything else around it. Don't worry about it.
Whatever.
All right. So, hi, everybody. My name is Caleb Wade with Creme Demented and Creme Demented Presents. And I have gathered an illustrious group of three equally damaged people.
I mean, you're not wrong.
You didn't mean to add us like that.
Yeah, man. To celebrate the 10-year anniversary of a film. I was about to say fantastic, but it's rather problematic. Called Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. Based on the graphic novels by Brian Lee O'Malley. Before we start with the introductions, I want to say I completely and utterly understand how problematic it is that we are one person of color and, like, we're all queer people and, like, we don't have, like, the right to speak for communities that we are not a part of. Yeah. However, we just want to read the script and clown a movie from 2010 just in time for the 10-year anniversary. And we completely and utterly understand that none of us are the original cast.
Oh, God.
So there will be liberties taken. That being said, I'm Caleb Wade. I'll be playing whoever, just mostly not Scott.
Your only request at the beginning was, I don't want to play
Scott. I don't want to play Scott.
I don't want to be Scott.
Also, fun fact, there are no black people in this film, so.
Woefully not.
So, shall we start introductions with Amber?
Oh, sure. Hi, my name's Amber. I'm playing most of the female cast because I am, in fact, a female somehow. I don't understand how that happened, but it did.
I figure you just rolled a die at the beginning.
I rolled a natural 20 on
roll to female.
I have a YouTube channel called Chia Pet IRL, and that's all I'm plugging, so there you go.
Roll to female, the new expansion from Wizards of the Coast.
Oh, no.
Shall we go to Nate next?
Hi, I'm Nathan Sarver. I will be voicing Scott, among other people, and I'm at BatMango307 on Twitter, and that's all I have to plug.
And last but not least.
Hey everybody, I'm Fenagini, or Fen, as most of the internet knows me, through various means. I do all sorts of stuff. You can follow me on Twitter if you want to try to reach out to me for some of the dumb insanity I get into. That's all honestly the best way I can put it.
Don't call me out like this, Fen.
Call you out. I'm calling myself out of anything.
Yeah, you called all of us out at the beginning of this. We're all owed one.
Everybody gets one. So, shall we start? Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, written by Edgar Wright and Michael Bacall, based on the graphic novels by Brian Lee O'Malley, May 13th, 2010. Remember that? 27 years ago.
I don't remember May 13th, 2020.
That's fair. Me neither.
Yeah, the Backstreet Boys reunion tour is taken.
It's been taking too long.
The Backstreet Boys tour reunion could tour last 5 years.
Took out the Backstreet Boys reunion tour. So.
It did indeed.
So, shall we? Exterior Toronto, residential street, day.
Snowy suburbs of Toronto, from a nondescript house, we hear.
Scott Pilgrim is dating a high schooler?
Interior Stephen Still's kitchen, day.
Four 20-somethings lounge around a small kitchen table. Stephen Still's, 25, shaggy hair, Canadian cowboy chic.
Really? Is she hot?
Kim Pine, 22, cute, bitter, sweatshirt with a zipper.
How old are you now, Scott? Like, 28?
I'm not playing your little games.
So you've been out of high school for like 13 years and...
I'm 22. 22.
And you're dating a high school girl. Not bad. Not bad.
Young Neil, 20. Simple mind, layered t-shirts. Like, did you guys do it yet? Scott Pilgrim, 22. Fresh-faced and charmingly cocky with an unruly yet adorable mop of hair.
We have done many things. We ride the bus. We have meaningful conversations about how yearbook club went and about her friends and, you know, drama.
Yeah, okay. Have you even kissed her?
We almost held hands once, but then she got embarrassed.
Well, aren't you pleased as punch?
So what's her name?
Knives Chow. She's Chinese.
Chinese.
Young Neo pauses his Nintendo DS. Wicked. How'd you meet her?
I believe I mentioned the bus.
Scott Pilgrim prepares to tell an amazing story.
I love how, like, we're reading the original screenplay, and this is not at all how the scene played out in the film.
It gives us so little to work with, that's why I'm just like, oh, right. Roll with it.
All right, let's roll with it. Interior of the bus, night.
Nice Chow, 17, cute and innocent, with clothes to match, sits next to her mother. Mother Chow, 45, demanding.
You are 17 years old. Time to get interested in boy. Mom!
Knives drops her bag, books scattering everywhere.
You drop book!
Knives crouches down to pick up her books, grumbling.
Already so problematic.
I know. I feel so bad.
Hey.
Knives looks up to see the cute and gallant Scott Pilgrim holding her books. Text appears in the on-screen box.
Scott Pilgrim, 22 years old, rating awesome.
Stars appear in Knives' eyes. Scott grins heroically. Scott winks at Knives. Scott winks at the camera.
Interior of Stephen Stills' kitchen day.
Back in the kitchen, everyone looks at Scott.
Is that seriously the end of the story?
Yes, it is.
Young Neo unpauses his Nintendo DS.
So when do we get to meet her?
Oh, please. Let it be soon.
For the record, this is actually on the fucking script, but dingy dong, the doorbell rings. Scott smiles broadly.
That's for me.
Interior, exterior, Stephen Stills' house, day. An eager Knives stands outside. Scott opens the door a crack. Amber, do you want someone else to voice Knives?
Sure.
I'll do it.
You promise to be good?
Of course I'll be good.
No, really. Please be good.
Am I normally not?
Stephen Stills comes through the door and peers through.
Oh, hey, Knives. This is Stephen Stills. He's the Talon.
Hey.
Stills shuts the door on a confused Knives.
Is she going to geek out on us?
She'll just sit in the corner, man.
I mean, I want her to geek out on us.
She'll geek. She geeks. She has the capacity to geek.
Stephen Stills quickly opens the door and waves Knives in.
You're good.
Interior, Stephen Stills, house, day. Knives enters, looking around the rehearsal pad with awe. Bare bulb, ratty rug, drums, guitar, bass, lame brand amps.
Wow.
Knives, that's Kim. Let me get your coat.
Scott throws Knives' coat on the floor. Knives waves.
Hi, sorry. What was your name?
Kim.
And you play the drums?
Reveal Kim sitting behind the drum set, sticks in her hands.
Yeah.
That is so awesome.
Knives, that's Young Neo.
Hi, what do you play?
Wow. Zelda, Tetris, that's kind of a big question. Knives stares blankly at Young Neo, who finally gets it. Oh, I'm not in the band, I just live here. Sex Bob-omb has geared up. Amps hum to life.
Let's start with Launchpad McQuack.
That's not the actual title of the...
Oh, sorry.
Stop looking at your phone.
I'm looking at my phone for the script.
Then start looking at your phone.
And start looking at your phone.
All right, ready. We are Sex Bob-omb. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Kim bashes the kit with and Sex Bob-omb explode into rock. For the... other people. Guitar and bass leads lap into the air. Leap into the air? Sorry. Spelling out our title. Scott Pilgrim versus the world. Title continues over the song as small rehearsal space seems to grow with the music. Stephen Stills barks intelligible lyrics. Knives watches, jaw ajar. The song ends, feedback lingering.
You guys are so Amazing.
Exterior bus stop, evening. Scott bids adieu to a stunned Knives as she gets on a bus.
I can't even. Sex bomb. Amazing.
Interior Stephen Still's room, evening. The band and young Neil lounge around Stephen Still's room.
She seems nice.
Yeah.
She seems awesome.
Yeah.
Scott, if your life had a face, I would punch it.
Yeah. Wait, what?
I mean, are you really happy or are you just really evil?
Like, do I have ulterior motives or something? I'm offended, Kim.
Wounded even?
Hurt, Kim.
You? Hurt?
Scott takes a breath, turns to young Neil.
Neil, you were saying she seems awesome.
Yeah, she seems awesome.
Yeah.
Interior Wallace's apartment. Evening. Scott hangs up his coat in a tiny one-room apartment. He turns to Wallace Wells. Dark hair, arched eyebrow, disloyal.
Disloyal.
Wallace Wells. Disloyal! Roommate, 24 years old. Fun fact, he is gay.
Before you hear some dirty lies from someone else, yes, I'm dating a 17-year-old.
Wallace looks up from the Now magazine he's reading.
Aw, is it cute?
Ha 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 ha.
Does this mean we'll have to stop sleeping together?
Do you see another bed in this place?
Tiny box of sex indicate the ownership of the items in the room of the one. I have items in the room of the one room flat. Excuse me. Apparently, my brain decided to have an aneurysm. 95% of belongings to Wallace, futon included.
Yeah, you're totally my bitch forever.
So, the whole 17-year-old thing. Don't tell too many people.
Hey, you know me.
I mean, don't tell my sister.
You know me.
Wallace tosses the Now magazine aside, starts texting.
Who are you texting?
Ringy ring, the phone goes. Scott picks it up.
17 years old? Scandal.
Intercut with Stacy Pilgrim. Cute, peppy barista, grabbing on her cell phone in the second cup. A sign behind her reads, if you're using your cell phone, you will not be served. Stacy Pilgrim. Young sister, 19. Rating, T for teen.
That's not true! Who told you?
Wallace. Duh.
You bitch.
You know me.
Scott turns to see Wallace in a second cordless.
Wallace!
Wallace clicks off. Scott sinks into an armchair.
Who is this mysterious child you date?
Her name is Knives. Knives Chow.
A 17-year-old Chinese schoolgirl? You're ridiculous.
It's a Catholic school, too.
With the uniform and everything?
Yeah, the whole deal.
Oh my god. You haven't...
No. We haven't even held hands. I think she hugged me once.
Scott? Why are you doing this?
I don't know. It's just nice, you know? It's just... simple.
It's been over a year since you got dumped by she who will not be named.
Scott glances down at the partially obscured Now magazine, looking into the hot girl's eyes on the back cover album ad.
So, are you legitimately moving on, or is this just you being insane?
Scott looks at a strip of photo booth pictures. He smiles next to a hot redhead in happier times.
Can I get back to you on that?
A school bell clangs loudly.
Clangy clang.
Exterior Catholic school, day. Wallace and Scott stand outside a Catholic high school, in all capital letters. Uniformed boys and girls pour out.
I do not want to be here at all.
This school has boys, too.
I hate you. Even I would think twice about dating a 17-year-old.
Well, she's only allowed out when the sun is up, so I wouldn't call it dating. More like...
playtime?
That doesn't sound so good either.
No. Oh, I'm Knives. Scott, hey!
Knives skips to Scott. Her shy friend, Tamara, lingers behind.
Hey, Knives. This is my cool gay roommate, Wallace Wells. He's gay.
Oh, hi. Do you want to know who in my class is gay? Yes, does he wear glasses?
Wallace, you go now. Be gone.
Wallace pulls Knives close, whispers.
You're too good for him. Run.
Interior, the arcade, day. Scott and Knives play Ninja Ninja Revolution. Think a martial arts version of Dance Dance Revolution.
Gee.
They punch and kick in unison, side by side.
Did you know that the original name of Pac-Man was Puck-Man? You would think it's because Pac-Man looks like a yellow hockey puck, but actually it comes from the Japanese phrase paku paku, which means to flap one's mouth open or close. They changed it over here because Puck-Man is too easy to vandalize. You know, scratch out the P and turn it into an F or whatever.
Knives flips over Scott's back in a combo move.
Oh my god, like, wow.
Yeah, wow.
The game ends. Continue appears, counting down. 10, 9, 8. Scott looks at Knives. She digs for quarters.
Oh, I got it.
Exterior, pizza pizza, day. Scott and Knives leave a pizza joint, slices in hand.
Tamara's into this Korean guy, Bobby, but everyone thinks Bobby has a crush on Mina.
I thought Derek and Tamara had a mutual like each other thing going. What happened?
Interior, the Goodwill, day. Scott and Knives shop for t-shirts. Hangers click in time.
I don't listen to much music. I know a lot of kids who play piano or whatever, but you guys rock.
I knew I personally rocked, but I never suspected that we rocked as a unit. Thank you, Knives.
Interior, Sonic Boom, record store, day. Scott and Knives flip through records in perfect sync.
I mean, you guys are going to be huge.
Well, we're already pretty big, but it might be cool if cool people wore our t-shirts.
Knives speaks to a female clerk, surly with tats and specs. Julia, 22, Still's girlfriend, rating, what is her problem?
Julie?
Exactly.
Please let me voice Julie.
I wanted to voice Julie.
Okay,
you're
fine.
Voicing
okay.
Knives.
All right, fine. Okay. Excuse me. Do you have anything by the Clash of Demon Head?
Have you tried the section marked the Clash of Demon Head?
Thank you, Julie.
Are you coming to my Friday? Let me start that over. Are you coming to my party Friday, or will you be busy babysitting?
Thank you, Julie. You don't want to listen to her, and you definitely don't want to listen to them.
I love how you went aggressive Daria for Julie.
I mean, that's not inaccurate.
That's not inaccurate.
I like to be surly, okay? It's my favorite state of being.
Scott puts the Clash of Demon Head CD back on the rack.
Oh, I hurt them so much.
I hurted them too until they signed to a major label and the singer turned into a total bitch and ruined my life. But that's just me.
Envy Adams is so cool. Do you read your blog?
Sorry, you were saying about me?
Exterior, snowy Toronto street, day. Scott and Knives amble down a snow-covered sidewalk.
I mean, I've never gone out with someone so talented.
You go out with a lot of guys?
No.
Yeah, so whatever, man.
I've never even kissed a guy.
Knives blushes and looks her to the ground. Scott hugs her.
Me neither.
Exterior, Wallace's apartment, day.
Oof.
Scott and Knives walk up to the front of Wallace's apartment.
So is this your secret lair? Can I come in?
My secret lair is one of those no girls allowed deals.
Oh, okay.
But do you want to see the house I grew up in?
Sure.
They literally walk across a street to a small house.
Here you go.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
Wind blows. The light snowfall turns into sand. Exterior, the dream desert. Hottest day. Scott wanders alone through a barren land. He falls onto his knees next to a lonely cactus.
Oh, God. So, so alone.
Mood.
A mysterious girl rollerblades across the shifting sands. She wears fishnets, an army jacket, skirt, and goggles. Her pink hair is funky but cool. She's hotter than the desert sun.
You're not alone. You're just having some idiotic dream.
Does that mean we can make out? But she's gone.
Interior, Wallace's apartment? ? Scott wakes up, sitting up in the futon. Sorry.
Oh, God.
Wallace wakes up to the left of Scott, rubbing his eyes.
What is it, Scott?
I had this totally weird dream.
Oh, God. Oh, sorry. What is it, Scott?
A scruffy, goatee guy wakes up right between Scott and Wallace. Other Scott, 22, Wallace's boyfriend, ? Fun fact, guy curious.
Oh.
Can we skip the dream time? Color me not interested.
But there was this girl.
Girl?
Was this an Evie-related dream?
We don't use the word in this house.
No, it wasn't her. It was somebody new.
Yay for that. Other Scott goes back to sleep. Wallace rubs his eyes.
Speaking of new, weren't you supposed to take your fake high school girlfriend to the library a half hour ago?
What? It's like 6 in the morning.
Scott opens the bathroom door. Sunlight ignites the room. Interior of the library, Dave.
What's wrong?
Scott is noticeably taller than all the teens in the library. He carries a stack of books for knives.
Libraries remind me of grade school.
That must seem like a really long time ago.
Let's talk about something else.
The hiss of a ball bearings catches Scott's attention. He freezes as he sees the rollerblading girl from his dream skating towards him, the desk, in sexalicious slow motion.
I really hated that word.
Sexalicious slow motion. Sexalicious slow motion is my Fergie cover band. Yep. Do you know that girl?
The rollerblading girl delivers a package from Amazon.ca to the librarian. Scott's gaze follows the girl as she blades out of the library. Pensive guitar underscores his thoughts.
Scott?
Scott continues to stare at the girl. Time slows to his crawl.
Scott!
Interior, Stephen Still's house. Evening. Scott stands in the rehearsal room, head still in the clouds.
You only played one note for that entire song.
It was, my hand slipped.
Your girlfriend distracting you?
My girlfriend?
A meek knife sits next to young Neil on the couch.
I'll be quieter. Let's do that one again.
Sorry, what are we doing?
Exterior, Toronto residential street, night.
I told you like 50 times.
Scott, Kim Pine, Stephen Stills, and young Neil walk down an icy Toronto street. Scott's head is still in the clouds.
We're going to this party, dude.
Thank you for replacing that word. That was
thought, and I went, nope.
I had an oof loaded up.
Yeah,
not going there.
If you've watched the movie, you know, and if you watch the movie, you know what she says in that scene. And we're like, no.
Party?
At Julie's.
Ugh, I thought you guys split.
We did, but you know, there may be some label guys there. So.
Oh man. This is going to suck.
At least it will give us something to complain about.
Aw, man.
Interior, Julie's house, night. Aboard Scott stands next to a young Neil in a very crowded house party. Both have red plastic cups in hand.
This sucks.
Sucks.
I'm going to go pee due to boredom.
Scott exits frame. I have to pee. Neil sips his drink. Scott passes by
Como.
Okay, I wanted to make sure I didn't fuck that up. Como, a bespectacled hipster geek. Como, 25, fun fact, knows everyone, including you.
Hey, Como.
Hey, Scott. Some party, huh? You getting your drink on?
This is Coke Zero. I don't drink.
You don't drink? I remember you getting ridiculously drunk off of 2G&Ts one time, and...
Como, you know everyone, right?
Pretty much.
Do you know this one girl with hair like this?
Scott sketches an incomprehensible drawing of Ramona.
Fun fact, in the movie, when Scott shows that drawing of Ramona's hair, that is done by Brian Lee O'Malley.
Nice.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, man. Ramona Flowers. Someone said she was coming tonight, actually.
What?
You got the odds for her? I mean, I hear she's pretty hardcore.
Scott has already left, and left a Scott-shaped dust cloud. Interior, Julie's house, moments later. Scott scans the party. His eyes go wide. He crushes his plastic cup. There she is, playing the wall. What?
Playing the wall?
What? Ramona, aloof, enigmatic, hot. Scott sidles up and stands next to her.
Hey, what's up?
Nothing.
Hey, you know Pac-Man?
I know of him.
Well, you know, Scott
begins to babble.
Well, you know, Pac-Man was originally Puck-Man, but not because Pac-Man looks like a hockey puck, and Paku 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 means flapping your mouth, and they changed it because if you scratch out the P and turn it into an F, you know, like...
Yeah, that's amazing.
Am I dreaming?
Ramona looks at Scott blankly. He slowly sulks away.
I'll leave you alone forever.
Then he stalked her for the rest of the party, Series of quick shots as Scott follows Ramona. He ducks around corners, spies from behind a much bigger dude. Ramona leaves the party. Scott grabs a startled young Neil.
Dude!
What?
She's totally real!
Who?
Ramona Flowers.
What? Jump cut. Scott runs towards Como.
Dude, what do you know about Ramona Flowers?
All I know is that she's American. Yeah, maybe you should talk to Sandra Monique.
Sandra Monique, 24. Two girls Como knows.
Lady dudes, what do you know about Ramona Flowers?
I think she has a boyfriend?
Some guy back in New York.
Doesn't she have the most ridiculous name?
I know, it's so Ramona Quimby, age 8, and yet Flowers.
The girls laugh. Scott does not.
Yeah, what else?
Jump cut through a flurry of faces as Scott asks everyone about Ramona.
I heard she kicks all kinds of ass.
She's on another level.
She's got men.
Oh. Sorry.
There you go.
She's got men dying at her feet.
She's got some battle scars.
Not to be entered into lightly.
Wow.
Wow.
That was a line that was said in that movie.
Yeah, wow.
That wasn't said in the movie. It ended at she's got some battle scars, dude.
Oh. Well, we end on a surly Julie, the rude clerk, who steps in front of Scott, arms crossed. Stephen Stills is with her.
What about Ramona Flowers?
You know her? Tell me now.
She just moved here, got a job with Amazon, comes into my work.
Does she really?
Didn't you say she just broke up with someone, Jules?
Did she really?
That they had a huge fight or whatever?
Did they really?
Yes, but I didn't want Scott to know that, Stephen.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about that girl. She just...
Scott, I forbid you from hitting on Ramona, even if you hadn't had a real girlfriend in over a year.
Hey, whoa. Scott's mourning period is officially over. He's totally dating a high schooler.
Dating a high schooler is the mourning period.
Yeah, she's got a point.
I thought you guys broke up.
I don't want you scaring off the coolest girl at my party, Scott. We all know you're a total lady killer, wannabe jerky jerk.
That's garbage. Completely untrue.
That time with Lisa.
Misunderstanding.
That time with Holly.
Not what it looked like.
That time you dumped Kim for...
Hey, me and Kim are all good now.
Scott looks to Kim. We hear the sound of Arctic winds.
Allow me to recreate the look that Kim gives back. It's like Scott looks to Kim.
Fun fact, Kim is only seen blinking once in that entire movie.
That's right.
Oh,
the
God.
Background of a frame at the end party.
Whatever. Ramona is out of your league. Let's leave it at that. And anyway, I'm not even sure she really did have a big breakup. She keeps mentioning some guy named Gideon.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about that girl. She just...
Forget it, Scott!
Interior, Wallace's apartment. Night. Scott lies on the futon, wide awake. Wallace storms in. I almost said Alice, sorry.
Guess who's drunk!
I guess Wallace.
You guess right.
Wallace flops onto the futon, landing next to Scott.
So, that girl from my dream?
Girl. Okay.
I saw her at the library.
Library. Can I pretend we're talking about a guy?
So then I'm at this party, and hey, there she is.
Hey, there he is.
I think she's...
You think he's...
I think she's the girl of my dreams.
Then you should break up with your fake high school girlfriend.
I've never been so sure about something.
Then you should break up with your fake high school girlfriend.
What's that?
Break up fake high school girlfriend.
I'm not getting it, friend.
Wallace drifts off. Ringy ring! Scott answers. Intercut with Stacy on the bus on her cell phone.
You're thinking of juggling two chicks?
Not even.
Well, you should break up with your fake high school girlfriend.
Wait, who told you?
Wallace?
He's not even conscious.
Whatever. You of all people should know how sucky it is to get cheated on.
Don't you have a job to do?
You're right. I should send out a mass text about this. Bye.
Scott looks to Wallace, who is out cold, cell phone in hand.
Wallace, how do you do that?
Hard cut to morning light filling the room.
Wallace!
Wallace sits bolt upright. Scott sits at Wallace's computer.
Amazon.ca. What's the website for that?
Amazon.ca.
awesome. I have to order something really cool.
You've got mail.
Dude, this thing claims I have mail.
It's amazing what they can do with computers these days.
Dude, now I'm reading it.
So happy for you.
Dear Mr. Pilgrim, it has come to my attention that we will be fighting soon. My name is Matthew Patel, and I'm blah, blah, fair warning, blah, blah. This is...
What?
This is boring. Delete.
Scott walks to the front door. Moments pass.
not that sound effect with your mouth.
I loved that. I thought about doing it, but I was too worried I would do something terrible to my computer.
I was just going to say click.
Top-notch narration right there.
I'm here for the narration, and that is it.
You are failing it, my dude.
Scott, are you waiting for the package you just ordered?
Maybe.
It's the weekend. I won't ship until Monday at the earliest.
Dingy dong. Scott jumps to his feet.
You were saying?
Scott opens the door. It's Knives Chow.
Hey!
Attack hug!
Knives smothers Scott.
Attack hug. That's cute.
He plasters on his best fake smile.
Remember, you were supposed to meet me at the bus stop a half hour ago.
How could I possibly forget?
Damn.
Sonic boom day. Scott and Knives flip through the record bins out of sync.
Your book club is getting so boring. I cannot believe the music they put on while we work.
That's sucky.
Interior of the Goodwill day. Knives buys a hip and trendy jacket. Scott sits on a couch next to the do not sit sign, still distracted.
Hannah broke up with Alan and now she's all into Derek.
Uh-huh.
Exterior pizza pizza day. Scott and Knives walk out of a pizza joint. Knives chows on a slice. Scott doesn't eat. His thoughts elsewhere.
But Tamara claims she has dibs on Derek.
I tell ya.
Interior of the arcade. Scott and Knives play Ninja Ninja Revolution side by side. Scott plays half-heartedly, his timing off.
Combo!
Knives goes to flip over Scott, but he messes up. The mirror image of Scott's video game avatar appears on the screens.
Now, before I say this, it is N-E-G-A-N-I-N-J-A as the shortened form of negative. Uh-oh, Nega Ninja.
I'm also going to be saying it, but we've clarified it. Nega Ninja squares up against Scott's avatar.
I can never get past that guy.
Scott has his little video game head cut off. The continuous countdown comes up. 10, 9, 8.
Do you want to keep going?
Scott takes a long look at Knives.
I think...
Scott takes a deep breath. This is never easy. 3, 2, 1. Interior, Stephen Still's house, evening.
Game on, everybody, game on.
An excited Stills addresses Sex Bob-omb. Scott tunes his bass, alone by the window, staring out.
I got us a show. Oh my gosh, when?
Knives bursts into frame. Scott winces.
Wednesday, the Rocket. Any better? It's the TIBB.
The Toronto International Battle of the Bands?
That's right. This guy at work was like, Steve, you know anyone in a band? And I was like, I'm in a band. And he was like, you're in a band? And I was like, yeah, I am totally in a band.
Great story, man.
Is there a prize or something?
Only a record deal with G-Man Graves.
What? Who?
You don't know?
Indie producer of the millennium?
Oh.
Whoa. Stills gestures to Knives' homemade Sex Bob-omb t-shirt.
And if we win, it won't just be Knives wearing a Sex Bob-omb t-shirt. It'll be the cool kids, too.
Knives can barely contain herself. She grabs Scott.
I will do everything I can to get out of study group and come.
Sure. Great.
We follow Scott as he walks in a daze to the bathroom.
Oh my gosh, who are you battling?
Crash and the boys.
The one band with Crash and those boys?
Yeah, that's the one.
I hate them.
Oh my gosh, I hate them too.
Yeah, they suck.
Interior, Stephen Still's house, bathroom, evening. Scott pees in a state of dreamy reverie. The P bar above his head slowly reduces. He stares at himself in the mirror. Scott exits the bathroom, entering Interior Dream High School.
You didn't wash your hands, sir.
Nasty. Along,
nasty.
Empty.
That's gonna get tickets.
COVID.
That's the worst part about this character. He didn't wash his hands. That's the major flaw.
Scott's footsteps echo as he moves towards a classroom door with a star on it. Ramona Flowers bursts through the door, skating past Scott and down the hall, packaged from Amazon, clutched in her hand. Scott runs after her, around a corner, down a row of lockers leading to the outside of Wallace's apartment? Interior, Wallace's apartment, morning. Scott leaps out of the futon.
I really want to learn how to skate, actually.
And runs towards the front of the door, throwing it open and startling Ramona Flowers just as she presses the doorbell. Dingy dong!
Hi, I was thinking about asking you out, but then I realized how stupid that would be. So do you want to go out sometime?
No, that's okay. You just have to sign for this, all right?
I just woke up and you were in my dream. I dreamt you were delivering me this package. Is that weird?
It's not weird at all.
It's not?
No, it's like you've got this really convenient subspace highway running through your head that I like to use. It's like 3 miles in 15 seconds.
Right.
Oh yeah, I forgot you guys don't have that in Canada.
You don't remember me, do you? I met you at the party the other day.
Were you the Pac-Man guy?
No, not even. That was some total ass. I was the other guy. You're Ramona Flowers, right?
That's me.
So, you're like American?
Why? Am I coming off as rude?
Not at all, no!
Scott stands in awe of Ramona. She gives him a pen.
You know, you need to sign this. Whatever this is. Oh,
it's
sorry.
Something...
You know, you need to sign for this. Whatever this is?
It's something really cool. You'd be impressed.
You still have to sign.
But if I sign for it, you'll leave.
Yeah, that's how this works.
Okay, well, can we just maybe just hang out sometime? Get to know each other? You're the new kid on the block, right? I've lived here forever. I mean, there are reasons for you to hang out with me.
You're all over the place.
You're like my dream girl.
I need to find a new route.
Either that, or you need to start hanging out with me.
You want me to hang out with you?
You know, if that's cool.
If I say yes, will you sign for your damn package?
Scott finally signs on the dotted line and throws the package straight into the trash.
Done. So, yeah, 8 o'clock?
It took like 25 takes to get that toss.
Oh my gosh. I now understand even more why Michael Cera got cast in this role, because he is the only one who could have made this movie watchable. This is insane. Actually looking at the words Scott is saying and having to say them with my real mouth, this is rough.
With your whole ass chest.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's real bad. It is really bad.
Exterior park, night. Scott finds Ramona waiting at the top of some stairs in the park. The Toronto skyline gleams in the night behind them.
Why are you just standing there?
Dude, I'm totally waiting on you.
Sorry, I just assumed you were too cool to be on time.
Well, you assumed wrong.
So what do you want to do? We could get us at Pizza Pizza or flip through some records at Sonic Boom. Oh, there's this awesome game called Ninja Ninja Revolution at...
I'm not into simulated violence.
I'm cool with whatever you want to do.
This is good.
Scott and Ramona trudge through the snow in an empty park.
This is good. So how'd you end up in Toronto?
Just needed to escape, I guess.
Oh, yeah?
I got this job here, and Gideon had always said Toronto was one of the greatest cities, so...
Is he your boyfriend?
He's a friend.
Was he your boyfriend?
Do you mind if we don't get into that right now?
It's so not interesting to me.
They sit on some swings in the park.
So, what about you? What do you do?
I'm between jobs.
Between what and what?
My last job is a long story filled with sighs.
I know plenty of those.
Is that why you left New York?
Pretty much. It was time to head somewhere a little more chilled.
Well, it's certainly chilled here.
Yeah.
Chilled isn't cold.
Yeah.
I'm totally obsessed with you.
Oh my God.
I didn't mean to get you obsessed.
I just haven't been obsessed with a girl for a long time. It's weird.
It's probably because you sleep with a guy. I was guessing from your apartment, but you totally do.
We're just poor. We can't afford two beds. We're not gay. Actually, no. Wallace is pretty gay.
Dude, relax. I believe you. You're too desperate to be gay.
Okay, all right. What I would say. Accurate, but you shouldn't have said it. I love how the lighting in my room is just changing dramatically as we go on into this relationship. It's just getting darker around me.
I live in a void. It's always dark here.
Yeah, the back of the room, because of my lighting as well, is slowly encroaching on me.
Yes.
I see that.
As Ramona and Scott start their relationship.
Oh, I hate it.
Symbolism.
Yeah, it's something this movie is full of. I feel so stupid.
Aw, you're probably not that stupid.
Laughing, Ramona hops off her swing.
I'm mostly stupid.
Well, you're definitely stupid if you want to go out with me.
Exactly, yeah.
The snowfall gets heavier.
This is ridiculous. Isn't it like April?
Yeah, I can barely see you. This whole thing is an unmitigated disaster.
I think Act of God is a pretty decent excuse for a lousy date.
So this is a date, huh?
Did I say date? Slip of the tongue.
Tongue.
I'm so sorry that my unwillingness to play Scott has made you go through this journey, Nate.
This is like the worst version of myself I can imagine hearing me say these words.
Goodness.
The snow gets heavier still. Ramona walks away.
Anyway, night's not over yet. I think there's a thingy up here somewhere.
A thingy?
A door.
A door? I can't see you. I'm blind. Help me?
No.
Perish.
The door with the star on it appears out of the whiteness. Ramona opens the door. Scott and Ramona fall into blackness. Interior, Ramona's apartment. Night. Scott shivers at the kitchen table of Ramona's cozy, girl-friendly apartment. He watches as she slips out of her coat.
Girlfriendly?
Hello?
Welcome to my space, men.
Beware at the door, men who enter here.
What kind of tea do you want?
There's more than one kind?
We have blueberry, raspberry, ginseng, sleepy time, green tea with lemon, green tea with lemon and honey, liver disaster, ginger with honey, ginger without honey, vanilla almond, white truffle, blueberry chamomile, vanilla walnut, constant comment, and Earl Grey.
Did you make some of those up?
I think I'll have some sleepy time.
That sounds good to me.
I kind of want to read that line as quick as she does.
That is legitimately my favorite line in the entire movie.
We have blueberry, raspberry, ginseng, sometime, green tea, lemon, honey, liver, raspberry, ginger, honey, ginger, honey, vanilla, almond, white truffle, blueberry, caramel, vanilla, walnut, constant comment, and Earl Grey.
I forgot. Oops. Okay, where am I at? Oh, let me get you a blanket.
That would actually be awesome.
Ramona exits. After a moment alone, Scott ventures upstairs. He wanders towards a half-open door. Pushing it open, he finds Ramona in her bedroom in a bra and skirt.
Dude, I'm changing.
Sorry. I'm just cold.
Scott covers his eyes and our screen goes black.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, I cut off Ben. Yeah, and I feel bad about that.
That's okay. Does this help?
That's very warm. What is that?
Scott opens his eyes to see Ramona hugging him.
Oh. Okay.
They look into each other's eyes. The camera circles Scott and Ramona as they begin an awesome makeout session. Scott imagines himself soundtracking the kiss with a slinky bass line. What? Ramona breaks off, smiling.
Beechwood Sparks cover of Sade's By Your Side plays during this scene. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Were you just going to bring the blanket for your bed?
I guess.
Maybe we should both get under it, since we're so cold.
Oh, well, what about our tea?
I can not have tea.
The slinky baseline continues as Ramona takes her skirt off, revealing black panties to complement black bra. Scott takes his shirt off. They tumble onto the bed and make out. Then...
I change my mind.
Change it to what? From what?
I don't want to have sex with you, Pilgrim. Not right now.
Okay.
It's not like I'm going to send you home in a snowstorm or anything. You can sleep in my bed. And I reserve the right to change my mind later about the sex.
Ramona curls up next to Scott.
This is cool. Just this. It's been like a really long time. And this is... I think I needed this. Whatever this is. So, thanks.
You're welcome.
They exchange a smile. Then, without warning, we jump cut to... Interior, Ramona's room, morning. Daylight! Scott awakens. Ramona is gone. The arrow points to the empty spot in the bed next to him. Ramona, another arrow points out that she's in the shower. Ramona steps out of the bathroom in the towel. Scott relaxes.
I have to work.
Work?
You have to leave.
Exterior, Ramona's apartment, morning. Ramona skates towards the front gate, Scott walking next to her. Waist-deep snow covers the roads and sidewalks.
Hey, can this not be a one-night stand? For one thing, I didn't even get any. That was a joke.
What did you have in mind?
Come to the first round of this Battle of the Bands thing.
You have a band?
Yeah, we're terrible. Please come.
Sure. I opened up Discord and my second monitor so light would hit me. So I could ward off the darkness of this relationship.
Please.
Yeah, reading that joke was rough.
Yeah, let me just mute Discord. There we go.
Ramona shrugs and rollerblades through the window. Through the snow. Somehow.
To the window. To the snow.
Wait, can I get your number?
Shoop. Ramona skids to a stop. Right back next to Scott. She hands him a note. Ramona Flowers, 212-664-7665 XXXXXXX.
Seven X's.
Yeah.
Wow. Girl number.
Oh.
Scott looks up. Ramona is getting far, far away.
Same.
See you at the show, Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, hey. It's tonight. At the...
Interior. The Rocket. Night. The Rocket. Fun fact. This place is a toilet. Ramona wades through a grungy venue under the stare of young hipsters, reaching Scott at the bar. He stands with Wallace and Stacy. He holds hands with a guy wearing glasses.
You totally came!
Yeah, I did totally come.
Scott is
Do you want someone friend. Else to voice Stacy for the scene?
Sure. Remember?
Okay.
Scott is so amazed at her presence, his social skills vanish.
Excuse my brother. He is chronically enfeebled. I'm Stacy.
Hey.
And this is Wallace, his roommate.
Hey. Oh, sorry.
And this is my boyfriend, Jimmy. Hey. And this is Knives, Scott's.
Scott goes white. He didn't even see Knives come in.
Hey.
Knives pecks Scott on the cheek. She pushes her away. Knives looks kind of sexy, wearing makeup and new clothes. That's not a good
statement. She's still 17. No. Still 17.
Icky.
That is gross. I was reading it as I went.
Disgusting.
It was one of yous.
Which one of yous wrote this line?
You nasty perverts.
Do you like?
Leone's?
Yeah, Leon stare downs all around. Stacy stares at Scott. Knives and Ramona stare at each other. Wallace stares at Jimmy.
Have to go.
Scott scurries off. We heard feedback from the mic on stage. This next band are from Brampton, and they are Crash and the Boys. The Rocket backstage continuous. what? Forever to the backstage. Scott runs backstage with to see Stills obsessively flipping through the chart with hand-drawn stats for the rival band.
Oh man. Oh fuck. Oh man. This is a nightmare. This is a nightmare. Wake up, wake up.
Once we're on stage, you'll be fine.
We're just on the stage for sound check. The sound guy hated us.
It's just nerves. Pre-show jitters. People love us, right?
Scott sounds less than convincing. He looks up at Ramon and Knives sitting with Wallace, Jimmy, and Stacy in the balcony. The rocket stage, continuous. Crash and the boys tune up. A drunk Wallace turns to Jimmy.
Jimmy.
I can do Jimmy.
Do they rock or suck?
Oh, okay.
Yes. They haven't started playing yet.
That was a test, Jimmy. You passed.
Good evening. I'm Crash, and these are the boys.
Is that girl a boy too?
Yes.
Trasha, 8-year-old girl drummer, gives Wallace the finger.
Oof.
Interior, the rocket, backstage, continuous. Sex bomb peer at the band from offstage. Kim glowers.
They have a girl drummer?
Interior, the rocket, stage, continuous.
This is called I Am So Sad. I am so very, very sad.
Same.
Since we've already broken, I want to mention, they don't include my favorite line from the books, which is about Crash and the Boys, and it's later on when it's like, and now our next band, The Boys and Crash. Oh, Crash and the Boys had a hostile takeover.
It's so sad that Crash and the Boys die in the film.
It is. They were good.
Totally forgot about that, actually.
And it goes a little something like this.
Duh, duh, duh.
Crash and the Boys.
Thank you.
Hey, whole song in 0.4 seconds. Wallace yells from the balcony.
It's not a race, guys!
This song is for the guy who keeps yelling from the balcony. And it's called We Hate You, Please Die.
Same. Sweet.
Love this one.
Crash continues his rampage of musical hate. Interior, the rocket, backstage, continuous.
These guys are good. Are these guys good?
Kim Pine scowls harder than ever.
These guys are good.
Interior, the rocket, stage, continuous.
This is called Last Song Kills the Audience. It'll be our last song tonight. And your last song ever.
Sound explodes from the stage. The audience are stunned. Interior of the rocket, backstage continuous.
Fun fact about Last Song Kills Audience. In the now defunct or now removed side-scrolling beat-em-up game for Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, when you enter the rocket to face Matthew Patel, Crash and the Boys have already performed that song, and the audience are like the minions and like cronies that you face along the way, all unconscious on the floor.
That's amazing.
It's so good. And if you look in the background, well, we haven't gotten to the scene yet, but a thing happens.
Stills paces backstage as the others watch the band.
How are we supposed to follow this? We're not going to win. We're not going to sign with G-Man. We'll never play opening night in the Chaos Theater. God damn it, Scott, will you stop just staying there? You're freaking me out!
Interior, the rocket balcony, continuous. As Crash and the Boys climax, Stacy starts to Ramona. Sorry.
So, how do you know Scott?
He's a friend.
It's, you know, it's so hard for me to track sometimes. He has so many friends.
Ramona arches an eyebrow. Stacy turns to Knives and Tamara.
So, Knives, how did you meet Scott? Well.
Interior of the rocket, backstage continues. Scott looks up into the balcony, sees Stacy talking to Knives. He turns around and slaps Steven Stills in the face.
We gotta play now, and loud.
Interior of the rocket, balcony, continuous. Stacy and Ramona listen intently on to Knives' story.
Well, I was on the bus with my mom.
Knives freezes, staring at the stage.
That seriously the end of the story?
Oh my gosh! They're on!
Interior, the stage, the rocket, stage, continuous. On stage, a disheveled promoter walks to the mic. The next band is from Toronto, and yeah, so give it up for Sex Bob-omb. Sex Bob-omb, walk on. Wallace and Knives give the only cheers.
Woo! Yay!
Scott, you ready?
Scott nods vigorously.
Okay, Kim, are you?
We are Sex Bob-omb! 1, 2!
Angle on Knives. She faints in excitement.
3, 4!
Sex Bob-omb rock out. Barely into the first verse when a chunk of ceiling crashes down and a spindly Indian hipster, I did read that right, kid dives headfirst through the hole, finger pointed at Scott as he sails towards the stage. Matthew Patel lands on stage and glares at Scott through a lopsided fringe. He wears an evil grin and a jacket that borders on flamboyant. He drags on a cigarette, blacked out.
That's right. In the deleted scenes of the movie, they couldn't show cigarettes. So there was a scene of Ramona smoking, but it's just a censor bar.
Oh my God.
Mr. Pilgrim, it is I, Matthew Patel. Consider our fight begun.
What did I do?
Matthew Patel leaps in the air and sails towards Scott.
What do I do?
Fight!
Scott throws his base at young Neil and blocks Patel with his left arm, then punches him across the floor with his right. Patel lands like a cat, flips his fringe, and glares at Scott.
Jellicle cats.
God, shut up.
Amber's like, don't you dare bring me back to that. So flips his fringe. All right. Watch out. It's that one guy.
Thank you, Wallace.
Patel runs at Scott. Scott spin kicks Patel in the chin and sends him flying into the air. They land in the pit, knocking hipsters down and squaring off in the resulting circle.
You're quite the opponent, Pilgrim.
Who the hell are you anyway?
The lighting guy spotlights the fighters.
My name is Matthew Patel, and I am Ramona's first evil ex-boyfriend.
You're what?
Ramona's first evil ex-boyfriend.
All eyes whip up to Ramona.
Anyone need another drink?
Patel attacks Scott with spin kicks. Scott blocks. Patel punches. Scott blocks, then holds up his hand for a timeout.
You're fighting because of Ramona?
Didn't you get my email explaining the situation?
I skimmed it.
You will pay for your insolence!
Patel attacks, landing kicks and punches. Scott evades and counterattacks. Patel evades and lands more punches. Scott jump spins away from danger. They pause, breathing heavy.
What's up with his outfit?
Yeah! Is he a pirate?
Scott looks at Patel's outfit.
Are you a pirate?
Pirates are in this year.
Patel attacks again. They exchange furious blows until Patel puts Scott in a chokehold. Scott looks up at Ramona.
You really went out with this guy?
Yeah, in 7th grade.
The lighting guy swings the spotlight at Ramona in the balcony. We see a sketchy childlike animated flashback.
It was football season, and for some reason, all the little jocks wanted me. Matthew was the only non-white, non-jock boy in school, probably in the entire state, so we joined forces and took them all out. We were one hell of a team. Nothing could beat Matthew's mystical powers. Nothing but preteen capriciousness. We only kissed once. After a week and a half, I told him to hit the showers.
Spotlight swings back onto Scott and Patel.
Dude, wait. Mystical powers?
Patel levitates into the air and points at Ramona.
You'll pay for this, flowers. I'm going to have to do a Bollywood song. Fuck.
Yep. Patel snaps his fingers and launches into a Bollywood song.
If you want to fight me, ha, you're not the brightest. You won't know what's hit you in the slightest.
Patel levitates into the air. 4 hot girls in skirts with fangs and bat wings appear in the air around him.
Me and my fireballs and my demon hipster chicks. Tell him, Maddie. I'm talking the talk because you know I'm slick. S-L-X.
Ew.
Patel and the demon hipster chicks shoot fireballs at Scott. He flips back onto the stage, narrowly dodging the attack.
Fireball girls, take the sucker down.
The demon hunter? No, demon hipster chicks. Unleash more fireballs. Scott dodges. The house drum kid is trashed behind him.
Let us show him what we're all about.
Scott hits the ground, dodging the third wave of fireballs. They explode, crashing the boys in the wings.
It doesn't even rhyme.
Scott rolls across the stage, grabs one of Kim's symbols, and throws it in Captain America style. Good. Yep. All right. It hits Patel square in the eyes. This
is dated, isn't it?
Yep. Poof. The demon hipster chicks vanish.
This is impossible. How can this be?
Scott leaps into the air. Patel opens his eyes just in time to see Scott Pilgrim's fist racing towards him.
Open your eyes. Maybe you'll see.
K.O.
K.O. Oh, oh, oh.
Scott punches Patel. He explodes into coins. That's right. They clatter to the stage floor. Scott lands and picks him up.
Sweet.
Interior.
You kind of cut out there, Nate.
Oh, sorry. Sweet. Coins.
Interior, the rocket balcony. Continuous. Ramona makes her way out fast. Passes Stacy.
Well, it was great meeting you. Tell your gay friends I said bye.
Gay friends?
Stacy turns to see Wallace and Jimmy making out.
Wallace, not again!
Ramona passes Knives, who's being resuscitated by Tamara. Interior, the rocket stage. Continuous. Scott picks up the coins on stage and counts them.
Aw, oh, man. 240? That's not even enough for the bus home.
I'll lend you the 30 cents.
Ramona yanks Scott away. The promoter ambles back on stage. Yeah, so, like, Sex Bob-omb wins. Yep. Interior of the rocket. Balcony. Continuous. Knives now is wide awake, clapping wildly from balcony. Prize stands for Scott, but he is long gone. Interior. The bus. Night.
So...
A bemused Scott and mortified Ramona sit on the bus home.
What was that all about?
I guess...
Ramona takes a breath, looks deep into Scott's eyes.
If we're going to date, you may as well... Oh, sorry. I'm going to reread that. If we're going to date, you may have to defeat my 7 evil exes.
You have 7 evil ex-boyfriends?
7 exes, yes.
So I have to fight...
Defeat
your 7 evil exes if we're going to continue to date?
Pretty much.
So what you're saying is... We are dating?
I guess.
Cool. Do you want to make out?
Scott kisses Ramona. The studio audience awes.
Okay, so in the movie, Ramona instead of goes, sure.
Oh, right.
So that makes it a hell of a lot more nefarious, y'all.
Yeah.
Very much
I'm
so.
I'm going to turn on the light in my room because I love this atmosphere, but I just can't.
Finally! We can see him.
We're free.
Yes. Interior, Wallace's apartment, morning. A bleary Wallace fries bacon. Scott bursts through the front door, a spring in his step. The studio audience applauds.
Shall we, before we get into the scene, go for a bio break?
Sounds good.
Yes.
Sounds good. Alrighty. Great. Need to go get water.
We will be back in a moment, everybody. And we are back. Huzzah!
Huzzah.
So we were...
Right at the Wallace scene. If I
remember. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here after Wallace's kissed. Apartment.
Morning. Yeah.
Bleary Wallace fries bacon. Scott bursts through the door, front door, a spring in his step. The studio audience applauds.
Someone's happy.
Well, someone got to second base last night, and someone has a second date tonight.
Someone's lucky, then.
You know, when I say someone, I mean me, right? I got to second base last night. Maybe first and a half.
Wallace shoots a look at the idiotically upbeat Scott. I almost said ideologically. I'm like, that doesn't make sense.
Oh, hey, I'm inviting Ramona over for dinner, so you can't be here tonight. I don't want you getting up the place.
I've always hated that line.
Fire the whole line into the sun.
Burn all the straights now.
I kind of want a sign from our door that says, abandon all hope. ye straights who enter here.
I love it. I need it.
Okay, Scott, but in return, I had to issue an ultimatum.
One of your famous ultimatums?
It may live in infamy. You had to break up with Knives, that poor sweet angel, today. Okay?
Scott huffs and helps himself to some of Wallace's bacon.
But it's hard.
If you don't do it, I'm going to tell Ramona about Knives. I swear to God, Scott.
But you're...
At this point, a sleepy Jim wanders out of the bathroom and helps himself to coffee. Morning. Scott points bacon at Wallace accusingly.
Double standard!
I didn't make up the gay rule, Burke. If you have a problem with it, take it up with Liberace's ghost.
You're a monster.
Now put the bacon down and go do your dirt while I watch a Lucas Lee marathon on TBS Superstation.
Who's Lucas Lee?
Wallace points the hunky actor on the cover of Now magazine.
He was this pretty good skater, and now he's this pretty good actor. He's filming a Winifred Haley movie in Toronto right now.
They make movies in Toronto?
Yes. I'm stalking him later.
So this Lucas Lee.
Lucas Lee is not important to you right now. Get out.
You suck. Surprising no one.
Scott grumbles off. Wallace turns the television way up. We see Lucas Lee on a payphone in some crummy thriller. Listen close and listen hard, bucko.
Oh, I thought...
I thought I was doing Lucas Lee.
Oh, sorry. Listen close and listen hard, bucko. The next click is me hanging up. The one after that is me pulling the trigger.
All right, so fun facts. I think Scott Pilgrim is one of the few movies that has Toronto as Toronto.
Yep. Oh, really? They filmed in Toronto?
Because so many films use Toronto for other places. Like Casa Loma was the X-Men castle at one time.
Wow.
And in the thing with Lucas Lee, it's not on TBS Superstation, it's on Spike TV. And as he's walking up to the phone booth, he kicks open the phone booth with his bad leg. He's like kind of limping.
It's amazing.
Exterior right. Pain phone on a busy street day. A shivering and annoyed Scott dials the payphone.
Oh, hey, Knives. Do you want to like talk or whatever?
Are you wearing a tan jacket, like a spring jacket? And a hoodie?
Scott checks what he's wearing. Spooky music underscores.
And a dorky hat?
It's not dorky. Why are you psychic?
A beaming Knives knocks on the payphone glass.
Oh! Okay. Hi.
Interior hey, girl, calm room. Down. That was not hey. The door. That was me knocking on my desk.
Oh no, Popo!
She looked up from looking at yourself. She's like, is this it?
Is this how we go out?
She's like, I'm ready.
She looks up like, Caleb, they've come for me.
They found me, sir.
The spooky music continues on the record store. Scott is on the edge. Scott is on edge as Knives geeks out over a standee for the Clash Demon Head. It features a sultry blonde singer, Envy Adams, posing, and the rest of the band shrouded in shadow and mist.
I can't believe they're coming to town. Will you take me to the show?
Yeah, listen.
The spooky music gets louder, pounding inside Scott's head.
Oh, hey, I wanted to invite you over for dinner.
Like, Chinese food?
Yeah.
That's not my favorite.
Yeah, well, it's to meet my parents. It's my birthday dinner.
I think that's a really bad idea. Like, really. Just so bad.
No, it's okay. Why?
Well, I mean, I'm too old for you.
No, you're not. My dad is like 9 years older than my mom.
And are you even allowed to date outside your... Oof. Are you even allowed to date outside your race or whatever?
Ugh.
I refuse to put any effort into that line.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't care. I'm in... love.
Knives is so smitten, the word actually appears on the screen. Scott brushes it away. The spooky music comes to a stop.
Listen. I was thinking we should break up or whatever.
Really?
Yeah, it's not going to work out.
Oh.
Scott walks out, leaving Knives in the aisle. Interior of the bus, / record store, day. Scott sits on the bus alone, thinking about Knives. Crosscut, with Knives still in the record store, in shock. On the bus, Scott sighs, thinks of something happier. Crosscut with Ramona, rollerblading, with her funky pink hair. On the bus, Scott smiles, a little happier.
So, in the movie, like, this scene, like, when he says it's not going to work out, it cuts to Knives with, like, a back background. And it's like, really? And it cuts to Scott in the black background. Yeah, it's just not going to work. And Knives just goes, oh. And she just kind of looks down. And Scott steps out of frame. It's woof.
Yeah, it was woof to read.
Ellen Wong is a fantastic actress who plays Knives.
Yes.
She is.
Into your exterior, Stephen Stills.
Stephen.
Stephen Stills, Esquire.
Sex bomb, tune-up. Kim spins a drumstick in her fingers.
Oh, where's Knives? Is she not coming tonight?
Oh, no. We broke up.
Young Neil pauses his DS. Kim and Stills share a look.
Oh, check it out. I learned the bass line for Final Fantasy II.
Scott, you are the salt of the earth.
Oh, thanks.
Wait, I meant scum of the earth.
Oh, thanks.
You broke up with Knives?
Yeah, but don't worry. Maybe you'll meet my new girlfriend soon.
New.
My new girlfriend.
My new girlfriend soon. Yeah, sorry, dyslexia's hard.
No. Dang.
Kim mimes shooting herself, still unplugs Scott's amp.
Okay, from here on out, no girlfriends or girlfriend talk at practice, whether they're old, new, or new. We were lucky to survive that last round. This is a sudden death now, okay?
Okay.
Dingy dong.
That's for me.
All right, Ben, change the lights.
Now Ford in blue hair. Shit. Fuck. Shit. I wasn't prepared.
I also... I want to cover over this transition by saying I just need Fen singing Dingy Dong and Ringy Ring as my ringtone and doorbell, respectively.
Hey, I'll record it for you. Don't worry. We can make it happen.
I got you, fam.
I got you.
I look forward to it.
I'm more purple than blue. Here we go.
I just want to mention that I will still do both Kim and Ramona. I think I got this.
Alrighty.
Hey, you're here.
Yeah. Like you said, is it not cool?
Scott ushers her in, weirded out by this hair development.
You know your hair?
I know of it.
It's all blue.
Yeah, I just dyed it. Are you going to introduce me?
Oh yeah, this is Stephen Stills, young Neil. That's Kim.
Hey everyone.
Everyone mumbles back. Mm-hmm. Scott still stares at Ramona's hair.
Is it weird not being pink anymore?
I change my hair every week and a half, dude. Get used to it. How do you guys all know each other?
High school, I guess?
What Neil said.
I'm Neil.
Believe it or not, I actually dated Scott in high school. Got any embarrassing stories? Yeah, he's an idiot.
Scott fake laughs. Starts ushering Ramona out again.
Okay, cool. See you guys tomorrow.
What about rehearsal?
Neil knows my parts.
I'm Neil.
Wow, that scene really, really underlines how much of a mouth-breathing dumbass Scott Pilgrim is.
It really does.
You know your hair?
I've met people like Scott. It pisses me off so much.
So do y'all want another fun fact or...
Yes, fun fact, Kayla, let's go.
In the graphic novel, Ramona says I change it every 3 weeks. Not every week and a half.
That makes more sense.
But seeing as how this is like five to six books in the span of like 2 weeks instead of like the years of the graphic novel, yeah.
Yeah.
Interior Wallace's apartment, night. Ramona lounges, reading a magazine. A tense Scott hurries around the kitchen area, preparing food as Wallace looks on.
You doing okay over there?
Yeah, good.
Ramona goes to the bathroom. Scott drops the act.
She changed her hair.
So it looks nice blue.
I know, but she changed without even making a big deal about it. She's spontaneous, impulsive, fickle. Oh my god, what do I do?
I don't know how I feel about this line, but I'm going to perform it anyway.
You can change it up if you need to.
Can't believe you were worried about me getting up the place.
Ramona returns. Wallace pulls on a jacket.
2010, everybody.
2010.
A decade ago.
We love it. How's dinner coming along?
Yeah, good. Good.
Well, I'll leave you two lovebirds to it. I'm heading up to Castle Loma to stop my hetero crush.
Scott stops Wallace at the door with a panic whisper.
I'm sorry, could you do that again, please? Will you man the hell up? You get a second and a half base tonight.
You think so?
Well, if you strike out in the next hour, come find me at the castle.
If I strike out?
Okay, when? See you in 60.
15 minutes later, Rowan and Scott eat on the floor, picnic style. Scott has cooked garlic bread, and only garlic bread, for dinner.
This is really good garlic bread.
Garlic bread is my favorite food. I could honestly eat it for every meal, or just all the time without it even stopping.
Mood.
You'd get fat.
No. Why would I get fat?
Bread makes you fat.
Bread makes you fat?
15 minutes later, a nervy Scott serenades Ramona on his bass guitar.
So, I wrote a song about you.
Oh, yeah?
Just don't.
Yeah, it goes like this.
I will sing it if you don't want to sing it.
I don't remember the tune, but I'll sing it.
Fun Ramona. Dun, 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 dun. Ramona. Ra, ra, Ramona. Ramona.
Ramona.
Ramona.
Ra, ra, Ramona.
Ooh. I can't wait to hear it when it's finished.
Finished?
15 minutes later, Scott makes out with Ramona on the futon. Scott smiles as she runs her hand through his hair.
Your hair's pretty shaggy.
Oh, God, I need a haircut, don't I?
Scott sits up like a shot. That is not how that's described, but okay. Ramona's taken back.
What?
No, sorry. It's just that I got a bad haircut, right? Before me and my big ex broke up. But it's so long ago. I can barely remember it.
A deeply voiced narrator chimes in. Earl Jones deep. Scott is acutely aware of his last salon haircut took place exactly 431 days ago, 3 hours before his big breakup. He blames this largely on the haircut and has been cutting his own hair ever since.
It sounds like a bad time.
Not really.
It was.
It was a mutual thing.
It was not.
I mean, she told me it was mutual.
She dumped him. It was brutal.
Oh, what was her name?
She was Nat when I knew her, but she stopped liking that name. Then stopped liking me.
Your hair's cute. I like it long.
But it'd be cuter short, wouldn't it?
It'd be cuter short, wouldn't it?
Scott disappears and just as quickly reappears, now wearing his dorky snow hat. His hair tucked tightly beneath the flaps.
Oh, what? Why are you wearing that?
I thought we could go for a walk.
External endless stairway, night. 15 minutes later, Scott and Ramona climb the stairway. A long handrail between them.
Tell me we didn't come out here just so you could cover your hair with that hat.
No, I just love me some walking. Putting one leg in front of the other.
You seem a little heightened.
Yeah, I don't know. When I'm with you, I feel like I'm on drugs. Not that I do drugs, unless you do. In which case, I do drugs all the time. Every drug. But you make me feel, I don't know. Things seem a little brighter around you or something.
Sorry. No, Ramona and Scott finally reach the top of the stairs and night turns to day as if crossing a magical line.
What is this place?
Totally awesome castle. They're shooting this movie up here.
Ramona looks up at the big, the looming Castle Loma, a castle surrounded by big, bright movie set lights.
Who's in it?
Winifred Haley and some actor guy.
Oh, who?
I forget. Let's find out.
Exterior Castle Loma. Continuous.
So for this next scene, I will be picking up Scott so Nate can voice Lucas Lee.
Yay.
Yay. You get a break.
A crew raise. I mean, I could also do it if you want to.
Nah, I'll take the bullet for Nate. He won't forget this.
Caleb will remember this.
Oh, God.
Oh, your actions will have consequences like a little moth.
X doubt.
A crew readies a shot of Winifred Haley held hostage by some goon. A stand-in takes the place of the leading man. Scott and Ramona approach some spectators, including Wallace.
Did you find the guy you were stalking?
I think I'm about to right now.
Mr. Lee is traveling. Oh, I get it.
Sorry.
Mr. Lee?
Lucas Lee.
Oh.
Oh?
The Universal Studios fanfare announces Lucas Lee as he exits his trailer, smoking a cigarette, blacked out.
Bum, 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 bum.
He skates towards the set, bum, doing kickflips. The spectators go.
Yeah. I want to have us adopted babies.
Oh, man. We got to go.
What? Why?
I used to date that clown.
Ooh, I'm so glad they cut this one. This line. The exchange of lines out. Slut.
Wallace, I am not a slut.
I can think of no higher accolade.
Lucas steps on his mark to his mark and puffs up into an action hero mode.
Action.
Lucas Lee points his board at the goon.
Oh, my God.
Hey, the only thing keeping me and her apart is the 2 minutes it's gonna take to kick your ass.
You dated a famous guy?
In 9th grade, we had drama. Actually, it might have been math. I just remember there being lots of drama.
Hey!
Lucas Lee points at Scott, who remains oblivious.
He just followed me around. He was a little snot-nosed brat.
He had snot in his nose? But he's famous!
Hey!
It's not a big deal. I only dated him for a week and a half.
I'm talking to you, Scott Pilgrim.
Lucas Lee stomps towards Scott, who gasps.
He's famous and he talked to me.
The only thing keeping me and her apart is the 2 minutes it's going to take to kick your ass.
Can I get...
Pow. Lucas punches Scott, flooring him. Scott comes back up with a pen and paper, wobbly.
Can I get your autograph?
Pow. Lucas Lee punches Scott again. He nods to Ramona.
So, how's life? He seems nice.
Lucas Lee throws Scott up into a castle turret, crumbling it. Scott crashes down through the scaffolding onto the set. Lucas holds up his hands for a quick continuity photo and stomps over to pick up his dazed Scott from the ground.
Scott, Evil X, fine.
Think you stand a chance against an A-lister, bro?
Lucas Lee punches Scott again. He slides across the wet down ground. A set nerd sprays Lucas' knuckles with antiseptic.
Some competition you are.
Lucas Lee wanders off. Scott staggers to his feet, punchy.
Hey! 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 I'm not done!
Scott spins Lucas around, only to find an identical stand-in.
Looks like you're seeing double.
Scott turns around to see the real Lucas smirking on the sidelines. Pow! The accident into the identical stand-in punches Scott to the ground.
He's good, right? Sometimes I let him do wide shots if I feel like getting blazed back in my Winnie.
Scott stands to fight double. Suddenly, countless stuntmen fanned out behind the stand-in, all identically dressed, all carrying skateboards and ready to rumble.
I'm nothing without my stunt team.
The stuntmen attack Scott Pilgrim with a howl. Scott punches through a couple of the boards, Taekwondo style.
Hey, ask him how it feels to always get his sloppy seconds. How's it feel to...
Growl. Scott gives a skateboard to the face, followed by a barrage of crippling skateboard blows to his knees and ribs.
I'm gonna get coffee. You homies want anything?
You follow the smirking off Lucas into the coffee station. We hear the noise of punching and kicking slowly subside to nothing.
Mr. Lee?
Lucas turns, shocked to see Scott in front of a painted 2D skyline backdrop, surrounded by many unconscious stuntmen.
You're needed back on set.
Scott charges Lucas Lee and leaps into a flying kick. Lucas grabs his foot and hurls him through the backdrop. Rip. Scott lands in a crump, framed through the torn skyline. Lucas stomps over to him, preparing for the death blow.
Why is crump in all caps?
I hate it.
I think it's meant to be a descriptor, but like an auditory descriptor.
Like crump.
Yeah, like a crump. But, yeah. Like, it is then followed up by like visual descriptors and visual things in this line, so it just looks very out of place.
It really does. Really, really weird SFX, man.
And this was script writing with Fanachini.
Oh gosh.
Prepare.
I do write.
Prepare to feel the wrath of the League of Evil X's.
League of Evil X's?
You really don't know about the League?
Seven
Evil X's coming to kill you, controlling the future of Ramona's love life?
No.
Oh, well then don't worry about it.
Really?
Yeah, bro. Let's get a beer.
Oh, yeah, awesome.
Lucas offers a hand. Scott goes to shake it. Pow. Lucas gets him square in the mouth. Scott smiles through his aching jaw.
You're a pretty good actor.
I'm going for the Oscar this year.
But are you a pretty good skater?
I'm more than pretty good. S.A. I have my own skate company.
Don't like that.
Don't like that. Didn't love that.
Lucas pulls on a shirt revealing a skate company tattoo.
So you can sell them. But can you do a thingy on that rail?
Scott points to the long handrail on the stairs.
It's called a grind, bro.
So can you do a grindy thingy now?
Are you serious? There's like 200 steps, and the rails are garbage.
Hey, man, if it's too hardcore.
You really think you can goad me into doing a trick like that?
There's girls watching.
Somebody get my board.
So, fun fact about that scene in the movie. When Scott says there's girls walking, there's like a heartbeat, and Lucas's eyes go, duh, duh. Like, look back, and then...
menacing.
Yeah, like... Lucas's eyes looks towards the girls and then back to Scott in sync with a heartbeat.
That's like the perfect JoJo moment, except for <I'm missing. laughs>
Are you approaching me?
Oh, not a hold on.
Wow,
Jotaro.
Jotaro. All
right. I think now Lucas has exited, so I can go back to Scott.
No, not yet.
Is he not?
Okay. It's like, somebody get me my board.
Yeah. Hands him a skateboard.
Hi. Big fan.
Why wouldn't you be?
Clack. Lucas goes for it. A perfect dolly onto the rail. Scott and Wallace watch as Lucas disappears from sight, sparking down the endless rail. Cut back to Scott and Wallace, impressed at Lucas.
Oh.
Cut back to Scott and Wallace. Very impressed at Lucas.
Wow.
Come back to Scott and Wallace. Scott's about to say wow when, boom, a fireball appears from the bottom of the stairs.
Wow. He totally bailed.
Yes!
Fist bump. Scott smacks his forehead.
I didn't get his autograph.
That's a wrap, everybody.
Where's Ramona? Is she still here?
No, she totally bailed.
What's the deal? Seriously?
Interior Wallace's apartment. Day. Scott slumps on the couch. Phone pressed to his ear. Wallace cooks bacon in the kitchen. No pants. We hear the outgoing message. This is an automated voice messaging system. Ramona is not available. Please record your message after the beep.
Hey. Beep. It's me. Scott again. Call me back. Scott Pilgrim. What's the deal? Seriously?
Scott ambles over to the fridge and rests his head on it.
Yeah, you said that last night.
You know what really sucks, though?
What?
Everything!
Come on, guy. You can't say you didn't see this coming. It was right under your nose.
Wallace points to the note Ramona scribbled in, which is pinned literally under Scott's nose in the refrigerator. Ramona Flowers, 212-664-7665. And then 7X's.
What did you think these were?
Kisses? Seven little kisses?
Seven deadly X's.
Wallace cocks an eyebrow. Scott slides to the floor.
Why does everything have to be so complicated?
Wallace crouches down to join Scott on the floor.
If you want something bad, you have to fight for it. Step up your game. Break out the L word.
Lesbian?
The other L word.
Lesbians?
Okay, they've been dating for like 2-3 days.
Yep.
And Wallace is saying to break out the L word.
That's the only appropriate word, lesbian, in that situation. I would become a lesbian in that moment if a guy said, love you, in like 3 days. I'm no longer bi, I am a lesbian. Goodbye.
I know in my relationship I said, I love you rather early, and I immediately walked it back when Collins was... when Collins was like, oh, and I'm just like, okay, can we say I adore you? And after we visited Amber was the first time he said, I love you.
Aww.
Because he got drunk one night.
I think he told me that.
Before that time, he got drunk one night and texted me, I really do love you. I just have a hard time saying it. Wow, this vodka is hitting real strong.
In that order?
Yes.
Oh, unfortunately, every relationship where the other person says I love you within like the first 2 weeks, it never works out well.
No, not first 2 weeks. This was like a month, maybe 2 months. Oh, no,
that's fair. But in my case, you know one of those people, Caleb.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. That worked out wonderfully.
Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's love. I wasn't trying to trick you or anything. Look, if she's really the girl of your dreams, you have to let her know. You have to overcome any and all obstacles that lie in your path. You have the spirit of a warrior, Scott. You can do it. Be with her. It's your destiny. Plus, need you to move out.
Scott's face falls, completely shocked at this bombshell.
What? Why? Are you moving in with others, Scott? Or Jimmy? Or someone?
Or someone. Either way, I'm kind of banking on her calling you back so I don't have to evict you and feel all guilty and shit.
Ringy ring. Scott and Wallace look at the
phone. Here we go. I have a feeling that's for you, guy.
Scott picks up. A sexy, non-Ramona voice replies.
Hey, Scott.
Envy?
Oh, shit. It's been a long time.
Yeah?
A year, I think?
Approximately.
How are you?
I'm not doing so good right now.
Oh, well, that's too bad. Still breaking heart.
What? No, stop. It's been different. You have no idea.
Probably not. Do you have a girlfriend? Should I be jealous?
Yes, you should. I have this totally awesome girlfriend who calls me all the time, and she's America. She's American.
What's her name?
I'm not telling you that. Ramona.
Oh.
What? Do you know her?
What? No.
It sounded like you did.
I've got to go. It was nice chatting with you.
Wait.
Click. Scott slumps to the floor. Wallace appears over him.
Okay. Everything does suck.
Scott grunts. Ringy ring. Wallace grins and grabs the phone.
Or does it?
Scott sits bolt upright, expectant.
Hello? Oh, hey, Knives.
Scott lays back down. Buck. That is in.
Yeah. We'll link the script. The script. What's that? You're outside?
Scott sits bolt upright again. Fuck! Wallace opens the door a crack. Knives shivers outside, pale and broken looking.
Oh! Is Scott here? You know what?
Behind Wallace, you see a lot. Scott leap through over his window head first. Glass smashes.
He just left. That is probably my favorite scene.
Knives sighs. Scott sprints away in the background.
Okay, I'm going to pause for real quick. Okay. I will do, I forgot what the girl X's name is.
Roxy? But
I will do her up until Ramona shows up, and then someone else can do her.
I can do Roxy.
Okay.
I'll take the other characters in these scenes.
External street day. Scott walks fast down the street, freaked out and paranoid. He sees 5X's looming above him on a pedestrian crossing and quickly diverts into a external alley. Day. Scott rips the X-Men patch off his jacket when whiz, something buzzes past Scott. He looks around.
Dude.
Whoosh. Another blast of air whizzes by.
Please.
Shh. Something sweeps him off his feet. He's pissed now.
I'm really not in the mood.
Shwa. Something else slices the air in front of Scott.
Okay, enough.
Scott punches the air in front of him. He hits something. A diminutive, dirty blonde dressed in a punk rock kung fu get-up lands on the ground with a thump. She spins.
Diminutive, dirty Scott. Blonde is my Avril Lavigne cover band.
Ow! You punched me in the boob! Prepare to die, obviously.
Listen, I've had it today. Can we not do this right now?
Love to postpone, darling. But I just crashed. I just cashed my last brain check.
What's that from?
My brain.
Well,
these are alternate takes.
Yeah.
Takes of
the same one. Well, whatever this is about, can it wait till I'm in the right frame of mind?
Nuh-uh. This is one nightmare you can't wake up from.
Wait, am I asleep right now?
No.
So technically this is not a nightmare.
Right.
So how can I not wake up if I'm not actually asleep?
Don't question me.
Scott shakes his head, baffled.
Well, I'm really, really not up for this. Whatever it is.
Okay, little chicken, then I'll see you later. But you won't see me, because I'll be deadly serious next time.
What?
Never mind!
Paff. The mystery attacker vanishes.
Can I just say, Roxy is played by the wonderful Mae Whitman in the movie. And it's like, okay, little chicken, I'll see you later. But you won't see me, because next time, I'll be deadly serious next time.
Every single, role in this movie is overacted perfectly.
Everyone knows what movie this is. Mm-hmm. Except maybe Ellen Wong, who put her heart and soul in playing Knives.
She did great.
Mm-hmm. She was fantastic. So, never mind.
I said that.
Path. The mystery attacker vanishes. Scott looks to the sky.
Oh, man. Someone help me.
External Bloor Street. I read that right. Okay.
Yeah.
Scott is in his usual payphone, dialing Stacy frantically.
It's Scott.
What did he do this time?
No, it's Scott. It's actually me.
What did you do this time?
I didn't do anything. It's everyone else that's crazy. Look, I need to talk to you. I'm having a meltdown or whatever. Are you still working?
I am literally about to leave.
Cool, I'm coming in.
Scott hangs up and walks two steps into interior of the second cup, continuous. Scott approaches the counter. Stacy has her back turned.
Think I'll make it to decaf today.
Stacy turns around, revealing herself to be Julie.
Scott Pilgrim!
Ah, what did you do with my sister?
Stacy taps on the window outside.
Sorry, I had to go.
And Scott turns back to Julie, not happy.
What can I fucking get you?
Is there anywhere you don't work?
They're called jobs. Something a fuckball like you wouldn't know anything about. And by the way, I can't believe you fucking asked Ramona out after I specifically told you not to fucking do that.
Note tuned to concerned reader. Every time Julie says fuck, a black bar comes out of her mouth and the sound is bleeped.
How do you do that with your mouth?
Oh, sorry. Never fucking mind how I do it. What do you have to say for yourself?
Can I get a caramel macchiato?
This is the movie that made me start drinking caramel macchiatos, not gonna lie.
Maybe it's high fucking time you took a look in the mirror before you wreak havoc on another girl.
Me? Wreak havoc?
Julie points at the Clash Demonhead poster behind the counter with concert dates at the bottom.
Fucking speaking of fucking witch... I hear that girl... I'm sorry. I'm going to start over.
Okay.
Fucking speaking of fucking witch, I hear the girl that kicked your heart in the ass is walking the streets of Toronto again.
So I can pick up my coffee over here?
Scott retreats from Julie and bumps right into Ramona. They share an awkward moment. She looks at the floor.
Sorry that got a little crazy last night.
Yeah, you kind of disappeared.
Yeah, I do that. Listen... I know it's hard to be around me sometimes. I'll understand if you don't want to hang anymore.
No. I want to hang. The whole evil ex-boyfriend thing? No biggie.
Exes.
I mean, I know it's early days, but I don't think anything can really get in the way of how I shit.
Scott hides behind Ramona as a live figure emerges from the steam milk mist of the coffee shop. The singer from The Glass of Demon Head has seemingly stepped out of the poster. Envy Adams, 23, fun fact, kicks Scott's heart in the ass. The icy platinum blonde fashionista walks towards Scott.
It's my ex.
The big one?
Scott nods. Leon stare down between Envy and Ramona.
I'm gonna... Excuse me.
Ramona goes to order coffee, leaving Envy to fix on Scott.
Your hair is getting shaggy.
Reverse. Scott is instantly wearing his dorky hat.
Yeah?
So, that's Ramona.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm jealous.
You're jealous?
I'm allowed.
You left me for that cocky pretty boy.
You have never even seen him.
Yeah, I know. You left me for a guy I've never even seen.
Maybe you will see him soon. We're playing Lee's Palace. You guys should, like, so totally come.
That's so not going to happen.
Great. You're so on the list.
Envy disappears into the cappuccino mists. Ramona returns.
Caramel fucciato for you, fuck pilgrim.
It's pronounced Scott.
That was so much fun to say.
Caramel fucciato for fuck pilgrim.
You know me, I say fuck a lot, so that's my favorite thing to do.
External Toronto, Residential Street, day. Scott and Ramona walk side by side, sipping their coffees.
So, that was Nat?
No, that was Envy.
So, what did you guys talk about?
She's totally jealous of you.
Envy's jealous. How about that?
Yeah, how about that?
What happened with the two of you?
You mind if we don't get into that right now? She wanted to move to Montreal because she missed her best friend, this guy Todd.
And 2 weeks later, you heard they were sleeping together, I guess.
Basically.
I dated Todd once. That didn't end well either.
I can see how it sucks having the past come back to haunt you.
Is it wrong that I try not to think about it?
What do you want to think about?
How warm my place is right now.
Ramona stops and kisses him. Interior Wallace's apartment. Night. Scott lies between Wallace and other Scott on the futon. And you didn't bang her? Are you gay?
I couldn't stop thinking about my stupid ex-girlfriend.
A bleary Jimmy sits up between the wall.
Is that the movie?
Oh.
Sorry.
You're good. I was just going to play both of them. Is that Scott, the Uma Thurman movie?
Scott, just because Envy's back in town doesn't make it not over.
Double negative. Tricky.
It's over. Move on.
Word.
Scott stands. No pants. Music swells.
Right. I'm not going to let her toy with me. From this moment on, I will think of Envy Adams no more.
Interior. Stephen Stills' house. Day.
I have distressing news.
A deadly serious Stephen Stills addresses Kim, Scott, and young Neil. Ramona lounges on the couch.
Is the news that we suck? Because I really don't think I can take it.
I would die for Kim Pine.
Kim is so
same.
Good. No, the Clash of Demonhead are doing a secret show tomorrow night, and Envy asked us to open for them.
I hate you.
A gig is a gig is a gig is a gig. Maybe you can put your history aside until we can get through this thing. You know, for the band? For the band? For the band?
Can't we do our own secret shows?
All our shows are secret shows.
Come through.
We're doing it. G-Man might be there. We play the next round of the battle on Saturday. We need to get some buzz going. We need groundswell. We need stalkers.
Stills paces past the window to reveal Knives Chow outside. Crash zoom on her tearful face, pressed against the window. Totally crushed to see Scott cuddling with Ramona.
What would you do if your ex was in a band and they wanted you to open for them?
My ex was in the band?
Yeah.
And it might be a little awkward, but maybe it's the grown-up thing to do.
Yeah, we're all adults, right?
Interior, drug smart, evening. Knives frantically rifles through racks of hair dye and rants furiously under her cell phone.
He's dating a fat-ass hipster chick. I hate his stupid guts. I'm going to disembowel him.
Oh, Interior, God. Knives' bedroom, evening. Knives stands out on her bed and continues ranting at Tamara.
She only likes her because she's old. She's probably like 25. She's just some stupid fat ass white girl, you know?
I think you mentioned she was fat.
Interior Knives bedroom. Bathroom, sorry. Evening. Tamara helps Knives color her hair under the bathtub spigot.
She's got a head start. I didn't even know there was good music until like 2 months ago. Okay, hey, this really burns.
We should rinse.
I mean, he knew I was cool, but he thought I was too young, so he tried to find someone cool but old.
She's cool? I thought she was fat.
Well, she thinks she's cool. This is all her fault.
Why?
Tamara turns the faucet on and rinses Knives' hair.
It must be her fault. Obviously, it's just a twist of fate or whatever, isn't it? Star-crossed lovers, born too late.
Knives looks into the mirror. Her hair is exactly like Ramona.
Oh, God, I look so, so good.
Knives throws on a long scarf on, not saying that sentence, eyes narrowing. You are 17.
17. It had looking sexy, but...
Knives yes, throws a long 17. Scarf on, looking 17, eyes narrowing. There we go, yeah.
I was going to say, I would rewrite this to say, Knives throws a long scarf on, looking dangerous.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
I would agree with that.
Eyes narrowing. Scott Pilgrim destroyed my heart, but I know how to get him back.
Push into Knives as she plots. Tamara pops into frame.
How?
We see a text message typing on screen. Young Neil, it's Knives. OMFG, you're so hot. External, Lee's place, night. A huge lineup.
Before I accidentally lock my phone. Because I was like trying to tap on the screen for like sound effect.
A huge line of two cool youth snakes outside a rock venue. A sign reads, The Clash of Demonhead, sold out. We hear loud music blasting through the open doors. Internal, Lee's Palace, continuous. Loud music stops abruptly. Sex Bob-omb bow on stage.
Thank you. We were a Sex Bob-omb.
Well, it's another Scott. Other Scott clap and cheer, drunk. Woo! The other snobbish kids in the audience clap, shrug and disperse.
Like, whatever, they're much better alive.
Oh, God.
We got some merch on the back, so... Okay, bar, now?
Internal, Lee's place, later. Edition Illusion, Sex Bob-omb, hang with Ramona at the bar.
Level with me. Did we suck?
I don't know. Did you?
She has to go. She knows we suck.
Ramona excuses herself. Internal, Lee's palace. Ladies' bathroom, moments later. Ramona does her eyeliner. She looks in the mirror to see two images of herself staring back at her. Where is it?
I hate this.
Nice job, 17. Single white Asian. With identical hair, clothes and makeup, standing next to Ramona, looking...
Dance. 17.
And 17.
Looking 17.
Single white Asian. Wow. Like, you can make a reference to single white female without saying that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I get the joke, but shut the fuck up.
This was also 10 years ago.
Hey, Ramona.
Hey.
Ramona exits, confused. Knives follows.
What the hell?
Internal Lee's palace, moments later. Ramona and Knives exit the bathroom together. Scott breaks into a cold sweat. Knives shoots Scott a scheming look.
Hey, Scott.
Knives heads into young Neil's arms at the other end of the bar. Scott struggles with something resembling jealousy.
What the hell?
Look who Knives is hanging with. Who is that girl again?
Scott dated her.
Briefly.
I bet young Neil will date her even brieflier. How old is she?
A Wheel of Fortune spins inside Scott's head with selections such as It Was Nothing and She Was Nobody. The wheel sticks between I Gotta Be and Who? Her?
Okay, before we get to this dastardly line, can we have a discussion? Knives is 17, right?
Mm-hmm.
Knives is 17. How much more do we need to reinforce this?
Scott is 22.
Nasty.
So there's 5 years. Yes. Do you remember how old young Neil is?
16?
He's 20.
Oh. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Like, when I was trying to, like, remember, I'm like, he's, like, 18, isn't he? He's, like, the kid.
No.
But or, like, 19? No, he's 20. So I'm just like, at what scale is this acceptable to some viewers? Like, how big of an age gap is too far?
Well, I think it matters up till the age, at least in my opinion, till 25. Once you pass the age of 25, and you're like, if it's like a 26-year-old dating a 40-year-old, I don't think that necessarily matters, depending on the dynamic of the two. Because by that time, I think by that time, the frontal cortex is developed. So
that's fair.
You're good. If you're past 25 and you're dating a 40-year-old, I am A-okay with that.
Because your opinion's ruled by science, Amber.
It is.
Mine is that, but like in between the ranges of 18 to 25, as long as you're legal in that area.
I have a little bit of some things with that. Like if you're a 17-year-old and an 18-year-old, but it's like by a couple months, like, you know what? That's fine. That's okay.
Yeah.
But there's certain things. Like, age during that period means a lot. It means quite a lot.
Hi. I'm 20. I dated a 19-year-old when I was 17. That said, 18 and 17, I can see it. Like, you're not going to raise that many eyebrows. Mm-hmm. 17 and 19, you better have a really good explanation. I agree. there's a sliver of possibility there. Hard stop at 20.
Right.
My thing is...
Hard stop.
I dated someone who was born the same year I was, but mm-hmm. they were like several months different. I was born in March. They were born in December. Mm-hmm. So we were both technically born in the same year. So that was that's fine. If like he was born in 97 and I was born in 96, I think I'd still have a little bit of a hard time with that. But like, again,
for me, the only person I have dated, because I'm not considering my long story filled with size, the only person I've dated is Collins, and he's born in April. I'm in December. Mm-hmm. There's a few months there. He's a bit older than me. But I can see, like, 18 and 20.
That's more what I mean by, like...
Oh, yeah.
I would say, like, two at...
If you're in that range of ages,
If you're at 20, you can go two lower... two higher or two to three higher.
A lot of people are in college, and that's kind of where all that range falls in.
See, mm-hmm. if you're 21, you can go 3 years while still being 18. I think it just depends on the scenario. But the main thing is, knives isn't legal.
Big point. Knives is a 17. Knives is not legal.
No. She is a young 5 year age gap.
He is five. A child. Should I read this terrible line now?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
I gotta pee on her.
Turns to be red.
I mean, I gotta pee. Pee time.
Interior Lee's place, men's bathroom, moments later. Scott washes his hands and looks up to see two Scots staring back, one with fringed hair and a wicked glare. Scott whips around. He's alone. Spooky music begins. Interior Lee's place, moments later. Freaked out, Scott returns to the group. The lights dim and the stage fills with twisting smoke, blue tendrils of smoke. The Clash of Demon Head materialize, Envy looking in a long black coat. Knives screams her teen brains out. Yep, read that right. The bass player steps into the light, no longer shrouded by dry ice. He cuts a handsome, striking rock god figure.
That guy on bass, that's Todd.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Todd flips his fringe from his eyes, stares at Scott. Ton Ingram, 25, Evil X number 3, fun fact, 9th degree vegan.
Oh, no.
Bottom Envy. Superman. Envy,
revealing a stunning figure.
Oh, yeah. Interior that is place. In the film before they perform Black Sheep.
Yep. Which is a great song.
It's so good.
Unfortunately, that is attached to that movie.
We can enjoy the art without without the context.
You can indeed, and I do often, amongst other music that I listen to. Knives and Ramona hanging out near the backstage doors.
Oh my god. Just, oh my god.
Man, you have to see them live. They're so much better live. Oh.
This young people are a fucking idiot.
I think I'm going to throw up.
Julie opens the backstage door and huffs.
Can't believe I'm even saying this, but NB Adams would like all of you to come backstage.
All of us?
Did I fucking stutter?
The group shuffles backstage. Scott hangs his head like a condemned man.
How do you know Envy?
Scott dated her.
I love how Neil repeats just parrots back things, but also the whole Scott dated her.
Yeah.
It's one word.
It's one word.
Yep. Knives makes a face that looks like this. And I shit you not, it is less, greater than, colon, capital O, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point.
Okay. They did
angry shock.
They did the version of the face without the greater than in the movie, and it's horrifying.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm glad that that made a cut. Interior Lee's Palace, rowdy backstage area, night. Sex Bob lounge on a couch on one side of the room. Envy, Todd, and Julie lounge on the couch across from them. Knives in shock as she thinks a thousand thoughts. Envy burns a hole through Scott. Everyone else feels awkward.
Fen, do you want to be Todd?
I'll be Todd. Hey, Ramona.
Hey, Todd.
Been a while.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should get out of here. How was the tour? You played with the Pixies. You're a superstar now.
It's not something I can really put into words. Envy? I read your blog.
Todd and Julie glare knives at Envy. Wrong way.
Glare knives.
Glare knives. There we go.
Glare knives at Envy. Just like turn Knives' head to look at Envy.
Todd and Julie glare at Knives. There we go.
So, Scott and Ramona, eh?
What of it?
You two are a cute couple, you know? You suit each other. So what's your ulterior motive here, Envy? In general?
She doesn't need ulterior... La, 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 la. She doesn't need ulterior motive, Stephen. She's got a write-up in Spin. I didn't read that right. I'm not rereading it.
You're my role model, Envy. Just saying. Cute couple. I like your outfit, Ramona. Affordable.
I was going to say, Envy, did you get those jeans in New York? They're...
I'm talking to Ramona right now.
Ramona lived in New York.
Oh, really? I was just there. We played the Chaos Theater for Gideon. You know him, right?
Scott looks at Ramona. She's about to answer when Knives stands up, points at Envy, and screams,
I kiss the lips that kiss you!
Envy nods at Todd. He punches Knives square in the jaw. OMFG is in the fucking stage notes. Scott jumps to his feet, facing off against Todd and Graham.
Knives!
Right. Three fun facts here. One, they dyed Knives' hair blue in the movie. It's actually supposed to be red from the graphic novel. Two, it is not Todd that punches Knives out in the graphic novel. It is... the third member of the Clash of Demon Head, who was played by Tennessee Thomas in the film,
mm-hmm.
With her bionic arm.
Oh.
And three, this is just a bad scene.
Yeah,
it is.
Brendan Ralph did good work in this film, yeah. And it's a shame he had to punch a 17-year-old.
Young Neil rushes to Knives' aid. Scott boils. Todd smirks. That's right. I'm not afraid to hit a girl. I'm a rock star.
Lynette, that's the third. Tennessee played Lynette.
Yeah, that's right. You punched the highlights out of her hair. Angle on Knives. Her hair is black and plain as before. You punched the highlights out of her hair.
You are incorrigible.
I don't know the meaning of the word. Young Neil escorts Snives out. Todd sits back down like nothing happened. Scott's face is in a bright shade of rage.
So, are you guys doing anything fun while you're in town?
Fun? In Toronto?
That is it! You cocky cock! You'll pay for your crimes against humanity!
Cocky cock is also the reason that Envy's F-word is bleeped out in the film.
Oh, God.
Scott leaps across the table and swings a punch at Todd. Todd thrusts the hands out and telekinetically freezes Scott in the air. Scott hovers, grasping his neck, choking. Todd's hair magically forms into a faux hawk.
My neck. Your hair.
Didn't you know? Todd's vegan.
It's not a big deal. Todd telekinetically hurls Scott through the club's wall. Ramona and Sex Bob-omb peer through the newly made hole in the wall to see Scott sprawled on some trash bags. He tries to keep cool, despite being in a lot of pain.
No kidding. Anyone can be vegan.
Ovo-lacto-vegetarian, maybe.
Ovo-what?
I partake not in the meat, nor breast milk, nor ovum of any creature that has a face.
Short answer, being vegan just makes you better than most people.
Bingo. Todd lifts up Scott telekinetically and throws him miles into the air. Scott sails out of shot and into space.
Hey man, question? I always wondered, how does not eating dairy products give you psychic powers?
You know how you only use 10% of your brain? Well, it's because the other 90% is filled up with curds and whey.
Did you learn that at Vegan Academy?
Go ahead and get all snippy, baby. If you knew the science, maybe I'd be listening. I'd listen to a word you're saying. Scott returns to Earth with a thump. He moans in pain. While others bicker, Mona helps Scott to his feet.
If I peed my pants, would you pretend I just got wet from the rain?
It's not raining.
Oh. How about you give me the cliff notes on how and why you ended up dating this a-hole?
Is that really important right now?
If there's a key element in his backstory that can help me out in a critical moment of not dying, yes.
A brief, scrappy, animated flashback of young Todd and Ramona.
I was only dating Lucas until the minute Todd walked by. I guess that's not very nice, but I used to be kind of like that.
Young Ramona shoves young Lucas down a hill and starts to make out with young Todd.
Did not happen in the short, but that sounds fucking awful.
It does. Teeth against teeth, man.
That's not what it meant, but okay.
No! No!
That would hurt so bad. Okay. We hated everyone. We wrecked stuff. Nobody cared.
Young and Ramona and young Todd wrecked stuff. Nobody cares.
He punched a hole in the... He punched a hole in the moon for me. It was pretty crazy.
Young Todd punches a hole in the moon. It's pretty crazy.
A week and a half later, he told me his dad was sending him to the Vegan Academy, so I dumped him. Does that help you at all?
The flashback ends. Scott can only fixate on one aspect.
Have you dumped everyone you've ever been with? You've never been the dumpy?
Ramona shrugs.
Look, I've dabbled with being a bitch. It's part of the reason I moved here. I was really hoping to put it all behind me.
Todd appears behind Ramona, ready for another round. We have unfinished business, I and he. Scott stands up, sort of ready for another round.
He and me.
Don't you talk to me about grammar.
I dislike you. Capiche? Understand?
Tell it to the cleaning lady on Monday.
What?
Because you'll be dust by Monday.
Because
I'll be pulverizing you in 2 seconds. And the cleaning lady cleans up dust. She dusts.
Sorry, so what's on Monday?
Because it's Friday now and she has weekends off, so Monday, right?
Basically, you can't win this fight and you have to give up on this girl because Todd's going to kill you.
You used to be so nice.
Scott charges at Todd, who psycho throws him back into the club. We hear a distant crump. Phil's calls through the hole.
Psycho throw! Scott, we're going to Pizza Pizza for a slice. Call us when you're done. How much of a shitty person do you have to be for your friends to see you be flung through a wall and go, yeah, we're tired of this shit. We're going to go for pizza.
We're getting pizza later.
Deuces.
Yeah.
We're about 2/3 of the way through this script, and by this point, it's warranted.
Oh, it's absolutely warranted.
Also, apparently, according to some Canadian podcasters that I enjoy, the hosts of The Villain Was Right, Rebecca Reeds and Craig Faye, Pizza Pizza is the worst pizza of Toronto.
Oh.
Good. It barely survives as pizza. Oh, he'll be done real soon.
Sex Bob album sulks away. Envy grins at Ramona. Wicked.
Sorry, baby. Curvy way to end things. I know.
Suddenly, the bass line from Final Fantasy II rumbles through the walls. Todd calls to Rhodey. Give me my bass. The good one. Internal. Lee's palace. Continuous. Scott stands in an elephant's graveyard of plastic cups and bottles, picking the hell out of his bass. Amp pegged to 10. Todd Engrim levitates, floating towards Scott with his bass. You're going down, vegan style. Todd lands in front of Scott. Bass off, pick, strike, string. Todd easily outbases Scott, shredding him into oblivion. The enormous reverb launches club debris towards Scott.
The reverb is hurting my soul.
Scott slides across the floor and slams right into the wall. Todd levitates, Philhawk rising. He hovers next to him. That's right, Pilgrim. I actually know how to play bass. Todd detunes his bass and delivers a death note that blows Scott right through the stage wall. Internal, Lee's palace, ready backstage area, continuous. Scott crashes into the backstage food table. Todd floats toward him, savoring the kill. Envy appears beside him with a smirk. I can read your thoughts. Your bass hand is badly injured. You're through. Scott turns around on his knees, cringing and holding a cup of milky-looking coffee in either hand as a peace offering.
What say we drink to my memory? Fair trade blend with soy milk?
I'm sorry, but that's pathetic.
Dude, I can see in your mind's eye that you poured half and half into one of these coffees in an attempt to make me break my vegan edge. I'll take the one with soy. Thanks, Tool. Todd floats to the ground, takes one of the cups and drinks.
Actually, I poured soy in this cup, but thought real hard about pouring it in that one. You know, in my mind's eye or whatever.
What are you talking about?
You just drank half and half.
Two trendy police types bust through the wall, making two more holes and pointing their fingers like deadly weapons.
Freeze! Vegan police!
Todd Engrim, you're under arrest for veganity violation code number 827. Imbibement of half and half.
Imbibement of half and half.
Imbibement.
Imbibement. That's okay. Bull roar.
No vegan diet, no vegan powers!
This is like a first offense. Don't you get three strikes? Vegan police officer number 2 flips open his code violation book.
12:27 a.m. on February 1st, you knowingly ingested gelato.
Gelato isn't vegan?
It's milk and eggs, bitch.
On April 4th, 7:30 p.m., you partook a plate of chicken parmesan.
Chicken isn't vegan?
The veganizing way. Hit him!
The vegan police blast Todd with the arcs of power from their finger guns. Todd's phylloch deflates into a bowl cut.
No! Fun fact, the veganizing ring is green, and this is the second character that Brandon Routh has played who has a weakness to something that's green.
Scott rises into a stance to deliver his killer line.
Once were a vegan, but now you will be gone.
Vegan? Scott headbutts Todd, exploding him. Boom! Scott dusts himself off as coins rain down. Envy stares, jaw ajar.
Sorry, I guess?
Sorry? You just headbutted my boyfriend so hard he burst.
You kicked my heart in the ass, so I guess we're even, Natalie.
Natalie? No one calls me that anymore.
Maybe they should. Now let's get out of here.
A battle-worn Scott limps through the hole in the wall. Ramona follows, shooting Envy a look on the way out.
Hold on. I lost my place. Hold on.
We're at page 97.
Okay.
97.
Okay.
Top.
97. Okay, there we go. Crummy way to end things, I know.
Envy blinks in shock. Julie pops in the shot.
For the record, I'm so pissed off for you right now.
Shut the fuck up, Julie.
Damn.
Interior. Pizza. Night. Sex Bob Om, Wallace, and other Scott munch pizza slices. Ramona and Scott on the fringes. It's an odd mood.
Amy Adams. Hate that bitch so much, I kind of love her.
Yeah. Thought that Dodd guy was cool and hot. I liked him. Scott sighs and holds a cold Coke Zero to his forehead.
Are you okay?
Huh?
Are you sure about that?
Do I look like I'm not okay?
Scott does not look okay. Stills coughs.
We're still going into the after show, right?
I'm not sure it's going to be much of a party. I think a third of the band just went boom.
Cool bands never go to their own after parties. It's just a desperate people trying to rub elbows with the label guys.
Then why would we? Oh,
Neil, you down?
Neil's at the counter with a catatonic knives. Jeez. Shrugs.
Scott, you're in, right?
Do you want to go?
I kind of almost died back there, so...
I'm not saying I want to go.
Hey, we can totally go.
I'll do whatever you want to do.
So let's go.
Scott takes another bite. Other Scott whispers to Wallace. Are Scott and Ramona fighting?
Not to my knowledge.
Oh.
I mean, not with fists.
Oh.
Yet.
Oh. External after party night. The whole gang trudged to the after party. Scott limps a bit, lagging behind. Ramona falls back with him.
We really don't have to go to this thing. It'll probably be a bad scene all around, and we've already had a full night.
No, I'm fine. It's just... Well, not that fighting harder and harder battles for your love is getting old or anything, but have you ever dated someone who wasn't a total ass?
So far, you're not a total ass.
But I'm part ass?
If it makes you feel better, you're the nicest guy I've dated.
Wait, is that a good thing?
It's what I need right now.
But not later.
Scott, I don't have all the answers. I just like to live in the moment if I can.
Yeah, I just like to live.
Scott and Ramona enter a big fartsy-artsy warehouse. Internal after party continuous.
Okay, I know Todd was bad news. Are you saying Envy wasn't? We all have baggage.
My baggage doesn't try and kill me every 5 minutes. What did you do to your ex-boyfriends to make them so insane?
Exes.
Whatever.
No breakup is painless. Someone always gets hurt. What about you and that girl Knives?
Knives?
Who broke up with who?
I believe I broke up with her.
And was she cool with that?
Yeah. She's very mature for her age. It was a very healthy breakup. Mm-hmm. We're all peaches and gravy.
No. We hear an off-screen from Knives.
And what about you and Kim?
They pass Kim. She's also staring at Scott. Not lovingly.
Me and Kim? I can barely remember. Why? Is it important?
Hey, you want to know everything about my past, dude.
It was just... Yeah. I don't know. It was high school. She had freckles. It was cool, I guess.
That's it?
Yeah, it kind of ended. We changed.
Fun thing about this scene is they're walking past Kim. Kim is like looking up at him, but it kind of looks like she has just a tiny bit of hope in her eyes. And he says, yeah, I don't know. She had freckles. It was cool, I guess. And then she just goes.
Yeah.
And I'm just damn.
Can I insert a fun fact too?
Yeah. Sure.
But to hype up this movie coming out, Adult Swim ran different little animated bits like they do for each of Ramona's exes, but it was about Scott and Kim's backstory. Aww. And they were actually animated, like drawn by Brian Lee O'Malley.
I think Mae Whitman voiced Lisa in those shorts.
I think she might have.
Yeah, that was really cool. So, I think we're at Scott and Ramona have reached the bar of the party.
Yes, they have.
That's really the whole story?
Okay, I had to fight a dude to get with her. I fought crazy 80-foot-tall purple-suited dude, and I had to fight 96 guys to get to him, too. He was flying and shooting lightning bolts from his eyes. He was totally awesome, and I kicked him so far he saw the curvature of the earth. Does that make you feel any better?
Well, now you're being a total ass. Welcome to the club.
In the back of a glass of the bar, Scott sees his reflection. Fringed hair, wicked glare. He catches himself.
Sorry. I'm not usually like this.
Hey, don't worry. I don't know what I am like anymore.
The amount of don't touch me, I'm damaged, rolling off this entire couple is physically damaging me.
It really is.
I guess this whole ex-boyfriend
thing. The amount of ooh-woo, I'm hurt.
Ooh-woo, I'm sad girl hours.
I just want to find a girl that'll fix me. Yeah. I guess this whole ex-boyfriends thing is really messing with my head.
Exes.
Why do you keep saying...
A foot appears out of nowhere and kicks Scott in the head, sending him flying across the dance floor. Scott looks at his opponent, the mystery attacker.
Girl from earlier?
Roxy?
Scott gets up, a three square off in his triangle.
You know this girl?
Oh boy, does she know me.
Ew. What is she talking about?
He really doesn't know.
Ping.
You and her?
Roxy Richard, 23, fourth evil ex. Sapphic aggressive.
I kind of like sapphic aggressive.
I like that too.
That's pretty good.
It was just a phase.
Just a phase?
You had a sexy phase? Oh, gosh.
It's okay. We are at page 103 out of 141. We've got this, friends.
Oh, good. I thought it was 171. I'm like, we're going to be here for a while.
I didn't think it would count. It meant nothing.
It meant nothing?
I was just a little bi-curious.
Well, honey. I don't know if you caught that. That was a little pause of knuckles.
I saw that.
I'm a little bi-furious.
Roxy throws a scorpion.
That's a mood.
At Scott's Same. Face. Ramona catches her foot midair. Roxy flips out of the hold.
Do that again and I will end you.
Back off, Hasbian. If you didn't can't have you, no one can. The league hath spoken.
The girls square off, clearing the busy dance floor.
Then Gideon best get his pretentious ass up here, because I'm about to kick yours out of the great white north.
You unbelievable bitch.
Ramona pulls a large hammer from her purse.
Believe it!
Pause. Wait a sec.
Like Naruto.
Worth it. If Caleb is about to pull out a replica of Ramona's hammer, I don't even know if I'm able to handle that at this point.
No,
I will deactivate.
Yeah. We're all agreeing we will leave the Zoom.
I don't have a hammer in mind, but...
Damn it. Oh, okay. No, that's cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's what you meant earlier today when you said star bag.
Yeah. It cost me a pretty penny, but it is made out of leather. So
nice.
Nice.
We were all very concerned that you were about to pull out a fucking giant ass hammer. And we were all
going
to be like, deactivate.
Yeah, we all agreed we would leave.
Podcast of one.
I'll finish the script my own self. It doesn't matter.
You have the vocal range.
What line are we at?
The Naruto.
I said believe it like Naruto. Yeah.
Yes. And Embarrassed Scott watches with the rest of the crowd.
Wallace?
Uh-huh.
This is happening, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, this is live.
Oh, yeah. Kick her in the balls, Ramona!
With blinding speed, Roxy slips her belt off and whips razor-sharp flying guillotine belt buckle at Ramona. Ramona cartwheels as the buckle sails between her legs and smashes into a disco ball. Mirror shards fly everywhere. Paf, Roxy vanishes as Ramona swings the hammer at her. It smashes the speaker. Sound on one side of the room cuts out. Ramona turns around just in time to see Roxy's deadly belt sailing towards her. She blocks it with the hammer. The belt wraps around it. Roxy hurls the hammer out of the window.
I'm sending you back to getting in 1,000 pieces, you slag!
Ramona springs off various pieces of furniture, leaping towards Roxy and punching her in the face. Roxy reels and slams into the wall, leaving a dent in it.
Rather be dead than go back. He's a creep. You're a bitch, and you all deserve each other.
Give it a rest, Ramona. This is a league game.
Meaning?
Roxy points an accusing finger at the mortified Scott.
Meaning your precious Scott must defeat me with his own fists. Or possibly feet.
I'm not sure I can hit a girl. I'm kind of a wimp.
That's honestly...
Hold on, my
yeah,
page
is... Yeah, that is the better
line. Guys, what page
line.
Are we on again? My phone...
We are at the end of 104.
Okay, I'm so sorry.
The line is, they're soft, but I'm a wimp is much better.
Okay.
Truer.
Okay. You don't have a choice.
Ramona positions Scott into a fighting stance as Rocky charges with deadly intent. Ramona puppeteers Scott into a furious volley of punches on Roxy. She staggers, winces.
Fight your own battles, lazy ass!
Puff. Roxy disappears, then reappears between Scott and Ramona, kicking them apart with splits. Roxy then kicks Scott into the ceiling. He lands hard on the floor.
Every pilgrim reaches the end of their journey. Some sooner than others.
Roxy lifts her leg over her head, preparing to drop her Buddha of death on Scott's head. She grins at Ramona.
Mae Whitman did this scene. Mm-hmm. And it was her actual leg. And I'm just like, the range, the talent.
We stand.
We stand, Mae Whitman.
Your BF's about to get F'd in the B!
Her weak point's the back of her knees!
What? How does that work?
Whenever we were making out, I...
Okay.
As Roxy legs descends, Scott reaches up with one finger and gently tickles the back of Roxy's knee. Graphic tickle tickle.
Oh.
Roxy falls, still in the splits, throbbing with orgasmic meltdown.
Hate it.
I mean, at least it's not knives. Scott watches as Roxy giggles between spasms.
You'll never be able to do this to her!
Roxy screams in something before exploding into coins.
Caleb, no! That, no! Go to jail!
Son of a bitch! Horny jail! Go
to horny jail, Caleb!
It's alright. Your local jailer is ready to welcome you in.
That's okay. Platt got sent there last night. You'll have company.
It just can't!
Shut up!
A spent Scott is left standing in the middle of the room. The party starts up again, a wave of gossip spread around the room. People text furiously and point fingers at Scott. Scott flushes red and retreats back to the bar. Mona follows tentatively. The gossip echoes around them.
So...
2 gin and tonics, please.
I thought you didn't drink.
Only on special occasions. Why? Did you want one?
Scott swigs down his drink. Ramona tries to lighten things.
I guess we really don't know that much about each other, do we?
Scott seems immediately drunk.
Maybe you could just give me a list of all of your exes, so at least I know who's going to beat my ass into the ground next.
Oh, like I have a handy little laminate or something. Let me see if I could find one. Maybe we can exchange our information. Scott already has downed his second drink.
What? I think Scott has already downed a second drink. Was supposed to be stage narration. Yeah.
Stage narration, but it's it's all good.
I kind of had,
it was just extra information. Scott has already downed a second drink.
Yeah, like
it was part of the line.
Yeah, it's not edited right, but I kind of like the Ramona speaking to the non-existent other, just in awe of Scott.
The office. Scott has already drank his other drink. Great.
Just out of sheer curiosity and concern for my mortal well-being, is there anyone at this party you haven't slept with?
Every guy and girl at the party. Hey!
Hey!
Ramona stops. Looks hurt. She touches her hair.
I really think we should split.
As in get out of here, or as in split?
I'd hope you could figure that out. Or did you miss the part where I saved your ass?
How could I not? I feel like we just washed our sexy laundry in public.
Dirty laundry. You're drunk.
I've had one drink.
Well, I'm sorry I cared. I don't enjoy all this, Scott. In fact, I'm sick of it. I thought you might be more understanding. You're just another evil ex-boyfriend waiting to happen.
Damn.
Ouch.
Ramona walks off and loudly announces.
And yes, there is someone at this party I haven't slept with. You.
Ooh.
Another crescendo of gossip echoes around the room. Scott's friends gather around in a pity party. But then, Ramona returns, handing Scott a laminated list.
P.S. Here's your... List.
That was almost Amber, so okay? Perfect.
Died. I'm sorry.
Amber has gone to space.
I went to horny jail. Goodbye.
Hey, say hi to Caleb for us.
Hi.
Hi.
3 scary meals a day. A feeling of shame throughout.
But we're feeling great.
Ramona exits.
Further than the Backstreet Boys.
Scott looks the list. It reads Patel, Lee, Ingram, Richer,
Katyanagi.
Katyanagi. Wow, I suffered through that. I'm sorry.
That's a rough one. Don't feel bad.
Who the hell? Oh, that's you. My bad.
Who the hell are the Katyanagi pins?
Oh, you don't know.
Interior, Stephen Stills' house, night. Stills slips to a hand-drawn sketches of the Katyanagis, identical Asian twins dressed like pretentious new wave flops.
Wow.
Whoa.
Those are words.
Whoa.
They really put that in fact, text.
The Katyanagi twins are not musicians in the graphic novel, they're roboticists.
Yes.
So, yeah, Ramona's so shitty for turning them against each other. Kyle and Ken.
Yeah.
They're the next band in the battle, and they are totally badass.
We reveal a grim Trish Scott playing a doomy bass line. The rehearsal room feels empty without Knives or Ramona.
Ramona dated twins?
Apparently.
At the same time?
You know what? I don't know, and I don't want to know.
Good. You know how I feel about girls cock blocking the rock?
Gold star. Gold star, Stephen Stills. Man of the hour.
Wow.
Good. I play better in a bad mood.
If it's going to be an issue, though, young Neil can fill in for you.
It's not an issue. You know bands. I know battles. We got it covered.
Well, we understand if you didn't want to take part.
Not only do I want to take part, I want to take them apart.
Okay. I'm getting tingles.
Whoa. Exterior, the ninth circle, night. Sykes, Bob-omb, and young Neil load their gear at the venue.
Okay, we're doomed.
Oh. The flyers outside, the cover outside the outside walls at another rock venue. T.I.B.B., Sykes, Bob-omb, the Katyanagi twins, amp versus amp, two bands enter, one band leaves.
That flyer needs more explanation, exclamation points.
Oh, we're gonna get killed.
Come on, you're on stage in 5.
Aren't the Katamaris or whatever on first?
I think you're both on first.
Wait, Amp versus Amp? We're going on stage at the same time?
That's impossible.
Interior, the ninth circle, stage, night.
Actually no.
The stages, two stages sit on either side of the auditorium. On one, a monofilic wall of elk amplifiers. On the other, Sex Babam with their dinky lame brand amps behind them.
Okay, my bad.
Your bad is saying my bad.
The Sex Bob-omb stare up the Katyanagi amps, sweating behind their instruments. Stills looks at into the audience position between the bands, a legion of identical indie teens.
We shouldn't even be here. We shouldn't even be here!
Stills tries to run. Scott grabs him and pulls him back.
Come on, man. I put aside my problems for the music. If I can do that, we can do anything.
Did you speak to Ramona then?
What? No. I haven't seen her since the other night.
Oh, she's totally here.
Change your light. It's green.
Oh, shit. Nah, fuck.
Panic.
We have not let go of this bit. Not yet.
No, we haven't.
Gay not panic.
This is the last time you'll have to change it, though.
I know. Kim points to Ramona in the crowd. She's totally there. Her hair is now the brightest green. And she stands next to a nondescript mystery geek in blazer and black rimmed glasses. They're chatting. She looks happy. Scott turns weak again.
Scott, not that I care, but he should go talk to her before she's gone.
Thanks, Kim.
And I really don't care.
Scott nods at Kim's advice. He looks back at the crowd to find the mystery geek staring right at him. Then, disorienting lights and lasers flash up on the opposite stage. A wall of feedback builds. The Katyanagi twins appear, sliding on stage behind their respective keyboard stands. Kyle Katyanagi, 23, is very serious and Japanese. Ken Katyanagi, 23, is serious and very Japanese.
Wow.
Scott, students.
Hello?
Share a nervous look.
Okay, gang. Can we do this? I mean, we can do this, right?
Right.
Scott?
Scott is distracted again by the mystery geek staring at him.
Scott!
Kyle Katyanagi hits a single note on the keyboard, blasting an enormous wave of sound at Sex Bob-omb. Mm-hmm. It's so loud that it shakes the foundation, rips the lighting rig from the ceiling, leaving a huge hole in the roof. The crowd cheers. They brought the house down, Now an open-air venue, snow falls on the stage, an earth-shaking bass note blows the dust off of Sex Bomb. Scott and Stills get into the battle position. Scott screams,
"We are Sex Bomb, and we are here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff! 1, 2, 3, 4!
Sex Bomb rock out, their sound blowing a mass of snow towards the Kainanagis. For once, they sound awesome. Kyle looks at Ken. They share a nod. Ken turns their amps up to the Japanese character for 11. Okay, the waveforms transform the swirling snow into a two-headed white dragon. Kainanagi slammed. I hope so.
No!
Heavy weirdness explodes from the amps. The dragon blows a blast of snowy fire that blows Sex Bomb off the stage. The crowds erupts into cheers. Scott, Kim, and Still lie in a heap under their instruments.
Let's just break up now and get it over with. We screwed the pooch in front of Gideon Graves. We're done.
Gideon is here? Where?
Still points to the mysterious geek who smirks and whispers in Ramona's ear. This is Gideon Graves, 37. Asshole.
That's Gideon?
Scott's eyes reflect Ramona's hair and turn green. He struggles to his feet. The crowd slowly stops capping as Scott pulls Still up to his feet and helps Kim up.
All right, let's do this.
Kim, inspired by Scott's new hardcore attitude, comes in heavy on the kick drum. Heads not in time as Sex Bomb rock out. The waveforms from the massive snow into a green-eyed yeti. Jesus. The Kainanagis fight back with the future sounds and their sonic dragon stalks towards Sex Bomb, slinking on the perfect beat with Kainanagi's spooky music. The yeti and dragons clash in the center stage, fighting in time to the music. Scott and Stills bring their picks down like fierce punches. The yeti brings his fist down on the dragons. Sex Bomb hammered down the final note. The yetis pick up the dragon and throws it at the Kainanagi strings, exploding them in their amps into coins. Plus 999 rocking.
Can I just say, these are two other men of color who have no lines whatsoever.
Yeah.
I have no idea why.
I don't think this movie passes the Bechdel test.
This movie doesn't pass any test.
There's a lot of tests that this movie does not pass.
Yeah.
Or come close to passing.
The movie just sucks. I'm sorry. It just does. The graphics are nice. That's all I can say.
It's stylistically, it's beautiful.
Oh, yeah. No, they did a great job with that.
Everything else is woof.
Yeah.
It's gross. Okay. That was epic.
The crowd goes bazooki. We've reached page 113 and they started using the descriptors like bazooki.
Bazooki is my Scott Bradley's modern postmodern jukebox's cover band.
Oh god.
Why would you make it Scott Bradley's cover band?
Oh god.
Why wouldn't you?
They're already covers. You're gonna make covers of covers.
A disembodied Scott head appears, hovering next to Scott. Scott looks for Ramona in the crowd, but she and Gideon are gone. Scott hands his bass to young Neil.
Scott, what are you doing?
Getting a life.
Scott swipes the Scott head and jumps into the still prodding crowd. He can't find Ramona, but comes upon Knive standing alone in her homemade Sex Bomb t-shirt.
I just came to see the show. I'm not even stalking you.
Knive's unusually composed demeanor gives Scott pause.
You seem different.
Knives shrugs. Different.
I feel like I know stuff now.
Scott and Knives lock eyes. Scott suddenly spots a flash of green hair exiting the building.
Ramona.
Scott follows. Knives watches him go, eyes narrowing. Exterior, the ninth circle, night. Scott chases Ramona down on the street outside the venue.
Ramona, I have something I need to tell you.
Yeah, I have something too.
Great, listen. I know you just play mysterious and aloof to avoid getting hurt. I know you have reasons for not wanting to talk about your past, and I want you to know I don't care about any of that stuff. Why? Because I'm in lesbians with you.
What?
I really, really mean it.
Oh, okay.
What did you want to tell me?
That we have to break up.
What?
Yeah, it's not going to work out.
Oh, okay.
A sleek black 61 Lincoln Continental pulls up behind.
It's Gideon. I can't help myself around him.
That's the bad news.
Gideon Graves peers behind Scott with Stills and Kim in the tow. The Lincoln Parks, a driver opens passenger doors.
I'm really not ready for the energy that Caleb's about to bring to Gideon Graves.
Oh,
the
I'm
good
ready.
News, Scotty, is I'm officially loving the sex bombs.
Baba.
Three-piece rock outfit with a semi-attractive female drummer. Music to my ear holes.
Scott glowers. Ramona looks at the floor. Stills is gaga. Text. An arrow points to Stills' crotch. Captioned, he.
You know, I'm not even going to wait to see how you guys do in the final. I'm signing you right now for a 3-album deal.
Gideon produces a contract and clicks a pen.
See? I'm not such a bad guy after all.
Hold on, I got you on the sound effect for that one, actually.
I think I have a clicky pen somewhere.
Hold on, I got my material if you don't.
We're all just searching for this pen.
Where's the pen?
I got it.
It all depends. Thank you.
Oh.
I had to do it. I'm so sorry.
Amber, go to pun jail. You're being transferred from horny jail to pun jail.
Should have kept your head down, girl.
Don't even see my head. My head doesn't even exist.
Hello?
Like, God, grabs.
Has Amber been a disembodied voice the whole time?
Of course. What else did you think I was?
Oh, I didn't like that. You think we're going to sell our souls to you? Well, then guess.
Oh, jeez.
We can't hear it.
We can't hear it.
Ah! Oh.
We heard it a little bit. That's all that
we heard a bit, yeah.
We hear scribbling. Stills has picked up the contract and Furious is signing it. Using Scott's back. Kim shrugs and signs it too before trying to hand it back to Scott.
Nuh-uh. I can't be part of a band with this douche in charge.
I feel bad for this notebook. It now on a random page has just furious amounts of just black ink on it.
Love it. Love that for it. Scotty, buddy, can I just say, keep your emotions in check. Don't let what's past screw up your future.
Scott watches Ramona get into the Continental. She rolls the mirrored window up to Scott, stares at his own reflection.
The people need to hear us, Scott.
And you're going to need to find someone else to play bass.
A cough. A meek young Neil slides into view, bass in hand.
Looks like we're all set.
Young Neil signs the contract. Their handshakes all around. Gideon turns to Scott and pats on the shoulder.
Oh, and Scott, we should really be thanking each other. I mean, if it wasn't for me, you would have never been with Ramona. But if it wasn't for you, she wouldn't be back with me. So I guess it all shakes out.
Gideon walks around to the driver's side of the Lincoln.
Oh, and hey, the whole League of Evil Exes thing. I was in a dark place when I put that together. Forgiven?
Ugh. Gideon disappears into the Lincoln and drives off and sex bomb drifts away. Scott stands alone. He slaps his head.
I said lesbians.
That Forgiven was exactly like Logan Paul's apology video.
Yeah, when I saw the words dark place.
Or cryotics. Attempting forgiveness.
Or both. Any white YouTuber apologizing for fucking racism.
Jeffrey also, Star?
Shane Dawson? I also just want to point out real quick. By the metrics we established earlier, Gideon and Ramona is also super creepy because Ramona's, what, 23?
Yeah.
What? No amount of age difference is going to need... You don't need to start at the age difference. You can start many other places than the age
They could be 1 month apart and it'd still be creepy.
Yes.
Yeah, no, but like specifically the age difference metric we established.
Oh, yeah.
They are Ramona's outside of it.
And Gideon's 37.
37! Oh, yeah, ooh. What? No!
Oh, honey. Oh, interior. Boo-boo, please.
Interior of the bus, Gideon's Lincoln. Scott sits on the bus alone, thinking about Ramona. Ramona sits expressionless in the back of Gideon's car. Scott tries desperately to think positive. A smiling Gideon slides closer to Ramona. Scott walks forlornly down an empty street and bumps his head in a telephone pole. Bunk. Oh, God, why? Exterior of the park. Night/day/night. Scott sits on the swings, staring straight ahead. Night turns into day. Day turns into night. Scott remains in the exact same position.
Was she really the one?
Scott looks over to see Stacy on the swing next to him.
What?
I mean, did you really see a future with this girl?
Like, with jetpacks?
Stacy stands a go. Gives Scott a hug.
Time heals all wounds, little brother. Maybe next time, let's not date the girl with 11 Eagle ex-boyfriends.
7.
Oh, well, that's not so bad.
Stacy heads off. Scott looks at the camera. Interior, Wallace's apartment, night. Scott enters, flicks lights on, gets a shock.
Ah!
Turn off the lights!
Scott flicks the light off over pitch black.
Presumably, you just saw someone's junk, and I apologize for that.
Sorry.
Was that other Scott or Jimmy or someone?
Or someone.
It's Chris.
It's Chris.
Interior, Wallace's apartment later. Scott sits on the chair, wrapped in a blanket. Some guy lies in Scott's usual futon spot, wearing Wallace's monogrammed robe. Wallace hands Scott a cocoa.
What a power move to wear your lover's monogrammed robe. Scott, you know I love you, but I need my own bed tonight. For sex.
Right.
I may need it for the rest of the week, too.
Right.
And the year.
I get it.
Maybe you could move in with Ramona.
Scott stares deep into his cocoa and shakes his head.
She's with Gideon.
Oh, that sucks. But you know, it's probably just because he's better than you.
Scott nods.
He'll certainly have better hair.
Scott nods.
Either way, I think this fight is over.
Scott nods.
You can sleep on the floor until you get somewhere else to stay. I got you muffs and blinkers in case this might happen.
Wallace produces earmuffs and a sleep mask.
Thanks.
Ringy ring. Scott stares at the phone. Some guy picks up.
His name is Chris.
It's for Scott.
Hello?
Hey, pal. I just want to say that I feel terrible about earlier. I don't want any hard feelings, so I figured why not be the bigger man and give you a call.
Is Ramona with you?
Interior. Gideon's later. Continuous. Gideon appears to sit on some kind of throne. He calls off.
I don't know. Hey, are you with me?
Yeah.
Jeez, buddy. It's going to be all right.
Interior. Wallace's apartment. Continuous.
No, I just spilled cocoa on my crotch.
Yeah, sure you did. Well, as you know, I'm opening a new Chaos Theater in Toronto, and the Sex Bobs are playing our grand opening tonight. It would feel really weird for all of us if you weren't there. They just did a sound check, and the acoustics in here are amazing!
Yeah, maybe I'll see you there.
I hope so, amigo. I wouldn't want any more blood. I don't want any more bad blood between exes. What do you say? Okay, laters.
Click.
What a perfect asshole.
Scott turns, alarmed. Reveal Wallace on the other cordless.
Forget what I said earlier. Finish him.
I'm hipster kid, by the way.
Okay. Hell yeah.
External streets of Toronto, night. Snow blows up around a steely-eyed Scott as he stomps towards a group of desolate warehouses near the water. A lone hipster's kid smokes a cigarette, leaning against the warehouse wall.
Password.
Scott shrugs.
Whatever.
Cool.
Hipster kid waves Scott in. Interior warehouse, night. The warehouse is empty. Scott follows the sound of music to a gated elevator. Two hipster kids guard the elevator.
Second password.
Scott gives the slightest shrug.
Cool.
Scott steps into the elevator. So far, so good. Interior Chaos Theater, continuous. Scott exits the elevator and steps into Gideon's underground lair of cool shit. The Chaos Theater. All hipster kids have gathered in one spot of ultimate snobbery. They are legion, wearing identical outfits. Chuck Taylor's skinny jeans. Como hoards court among them.
Yeah, the first album is so much better than the first album.
Scott pushes through the idiot hordes. Sex Bob Alma are playing on stage, now using sweet brand amps.
Instead of lame brand amps.
Yep. Stills sees Scott walking by as they finish a song.
Scott!
Scott pauses, looking up at his former bandmates.
Let it go. Don't give him the satisfaction.
What if I want the satisfaction?
Well, then you're doomed. Scott Pilgrim!
Scott turns to see Gideon sitting on the throne of cool atop black velvet VIP pyramid. Ramona kneels at his side.
Hey,
gross.
Buddy. It is disgusting. Welcome to the Chaos Eater. Someone get this man a drink. Coke Zero, right?
A cocktail waitress with a fringe appears with a Coke Zero. Scott takes a beverage and throws the cup on the floor.
I'm not here to drink.
I got no beef with you, bud.
What if I have a beef with you?
Are you still mad about that whole thing with the guild?
You mean the league?
Guild, league, Dota, whatever. It's ancient history.
How dare you?
Guild, league, Dota, smite, you know, whatever.
Paladins.
Oh, fuck.
No.
Oh, Paragon, whatever.
Yeah, all right, Paragon. We've already broken script. But I just want to really quick zoom in on that wonderful, just low, oh god, from Amber at Como's line. The echoing flashback was powerful.
I've made so many tiny little lines in this script. I hope you enjoy yourself, Caleb.
Yeah. I will probably just develop this into like a better format, save it as another video and just post it because I don't think I'm editing anything. Let's do it. Let's live wild.
Yeah. Gideon puts his arm around
Wild Rift.
I'll show you how ancient of history it is.
Scott gets into a fighting stance. Gideon loses his cool.
No use crying over spilled Coke, buddy. The lady made her choice and we're all gonna have to move on.
Well, I ain't moving, buddy.
You want to fight me for her?
Was that not clear? Was that not clear?
Sex bomb shake their heads. Gideon stands up, flexes.
Now, why on earth would you want to do that?
Because I'm in love with her.
Ramona and Scott lock eyes. A new power comes over Scott. He reaches for the heart design printed on his ratty vintage t-shirt and pulls out a flaming blue sword from his own chest.
Scott earned the power of love.
Ramona walks away from Scott. Gideon smiles.
I think this deserves a song. Kimberly!
Kim scratches her head with the middle finger before grudgingly launching into a number.
We are Sex Bomb Mom, and we're here to make money and sell out and stuff.
Kim clicks the flash tempo. Sex Bomb Mom begin to rock out. A horde of hipster indie kids attack Scott Pilgrim on beat. Scott swings at them with his flaming blue sword. He slashes at them into the beat, exploding each attacker into coins. Scott then runs up the side of the pyramid towards Gideon.
Ramona, my cane.
Ramona hands Gideon a cane with G-Man engraved on the handle. He unsheathes a sword that could not have fit in there. Scott and Gideon leap towards each other. Gideon descends like a vulture and smashes the sword out of Scott's hands. Scott hits the ground hard, rolling into a stop.
Your club sucks, by the way.
Gideon approaches to administer the final blow.
Well, if my cathedral of cutting-edge taste has no interest for your tragically Canadian sensibilities, then I shall grant you a swift exit from the premises and a fast entrance into hell!
Gideon raises his sword, then from above.
Scott!
Knives Chow sails into frame and kicks the sword out of Gideon's hands. She lands awkwardly, tripping and falling down the side of the pyramid. Gideon chuckles.
That is priceless.
Scott looks to Knives, both concerned and amazed. She quickly recovers and points a furious finger. Knives Chow, 18 years old. Fun fact, Scottaholic.
That's right, because she was inviting.
Yep.
Yeah, Scott too. Yep. Also, Scottaholic is not great.
But this entire movie's not great.
And I hate Gideon's next few lines but I will read them. Just know that I do not like them.
Should someone else read Knives?
I'm good.
Okay.
You'll pay for what you did to him. Listen, Kung Pao Chicken. Your old boyfriend brought this all on himself. He was warned plenty of times, but did he listen? I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to her.
Angle on a confused Ramona standing behind Gideon.
What?
You broke the heart that broke mine. Get ready to chow down!
Okay. Knives leaps up the pyramid toward a shocked Ramona.
You're kidding, right?
Knives pulls out knives and charges. Ramona fights defensively, redirecting Knives' parries without harming her.
You can't say I don't know how to put on a show.
Gideon lashes out at Scott. He can barely block Gideon's tremendous blows, distracted by his dueling axes.
What the hell is your deal?
I'm so glad they cut this.
line out. You stole them with your advanced American slot technology.
Duel. The fighters weave in and out of each other, throwing blocks and punches, kung fu style.
I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't steal anyone.
American Slot Technology is my Paris Hilton cover band.
Oh.
Paris Hilton doesn't make music.
What?
She did.
Not yet.
Like once, far too long ago that nobody remembers.
She was part of Repo, the Genetic Opera. It's fine.
Do we have to cover Repo, the Genetic Opera, though?
No. I love the music. Don't like the story.
This is the same as Scott Pilgrim, I think.
Yeah.
But Scott lands a kick to Gideon's chest, sending him flying off the edge of the pyramid. He then blocks a bunch of knives to Ramona and spins her away, separating them.
Can we please stop all this fighting? Nobody stole anybody. Knives, I did to you, and then I did to Ramona, okay? I mean, maybe I kind of forgot to tell Knives right away, but...
Then you cheated on me, Scott. You cheated on both of us.
Knives and Ramona both look at Scott, neither amused.
You cheated on me with Knives?
No, I cheated on Knives with you.
Is there a difference?
You weren't wronged?
Scott breaks into a flop sweat.
Right?
Knives and Ramona stare at Scott.
Game over.
Stab. A sword pierces Scott's chest from behind.
Oh, Scotty. You can cheat on these ladies all you want, but you can't cheat death.
Scott slides off Gideon's sword and falls to the ground. Text with the arrow pointing to Scott, dead. Everything goes white. Sand blows through the frame. Scott's eyes blink open. He looks up in a blinding blue sky. External, the dream desert, day. Scott sits up next to a lone cactus, rubbing his temple.
Ugh.
Ramona appears out of nowhere, fainter than before.
Sorry, dying probably sucks.
You know what sucks? Getting killed by that guy. Why him?
It's complicated.
Well, maybe now would be the time to get into it, seeing as I'm about to die.
All right. The truth is, it was me who was obsessed. I was crazy about him, but he ignored me. I was more alone when we were together than I was ever on my own. That's why I had to leave, and that's when he started paying attention.
So why go back?
I can't help myself around him, Scott. He just has a way of getting into my head.
Well, that's legitimately disappointing. I really will leave you alone forever now.
No, I mean he literally has a way of getting into my head.
Ramona lifts her hair up to the back of her head, revealing a blinking chip implanted in her skull.
That is evil.
He's like that.
Ramona covers the chip, self-consciously touching her hair.
So this kind of sucks for everybody, eh?
Sorry I had to end this way. We really had a good run, I guess.
You can't say I didn't try. I really fought for you back there.
Uh-huh.
The winds blow harder. Ramona is seeming to fade away.
But someone was fighting really hard for you back there.
Scott's eyes go wide with epiphany.
Knives?
I wish I was ever as fanatically devoted to anything as that girl is to you.
Ramona slowly dissolves away in the sand.
I feel like I learned something, which would be great if I wasn't dead.
Ramona's gone. Scott slumps to his knees.
So alone.
Ding!
The pilgrim head appears and rotates around Scott.
Ah.
We flash back to Scott by swiping the pilgrim head and fast forward through the breakup with Ramona and the sex bomb. We hear Scott screaming through this throughout this scoff magical magical restart. Internal fast Wallace's apartment night. We fast forward all the way to Wallace's apartment. As Scott enters, he flicks lights on.
I can't believe I had to see that again!
Again?
Turn off the light!
He flicks the light off on pitch black.
Wallace, when my journey began, I was living in an ordinary world. Ramona skated through my dreams, and it was like a call to adventure. A call I considered refusing. But my mentor, that's you, told me if I want something bad enough, I have to fight for it. So I did. There were tests, allies, enemies. I approached a deep cave and went through a crazy ordeal during which I totally seized the sword. Sadly, I died. Then I resurrected. Now I realize what I should have been fighting for all along. But before I do that, I need to ask one final favor of you.
Sure thing, guy.
Could you put a robe on and hand me the phone?
Wallace flicks on the bedside lamp, hands on the phone.
Toronto, Chaos Theater, Gideon Graves. Tell him Scott Pilgrim is calling.
Scott, I was just about to...
Hey, pal. I feel terrible about everything. I don't want any hard feelings, so I figure why not be the bigger man and give you a call? Sorry, what I meant to say is I'm coming over to kill you.
Scott hangs up and heads for the door, hardcore.
Go kick that guy's ass.
Wall stands to high-five Scott, exposing his junk.
Yeah, sorry.
You seen one?
External, streets of Toronto, night. Scott Pilgrim runs towards the desolate warehouses, the same hipster kid smoking a cigarette against the wall.
Your hair looks stupid.
The hipster kid explodes into coins.
Damn.
Scott approaches the two hipster kids guarding the elevator.
Sup?
Whatever.
Scott split kicks them in the faces, knocking them out.
Dude, not cool.
Interior Chaos Theater continues. Ding. Scott exits the elevator and steps into Gideon's underground layer of cool shit. The Chaos Theater. Again.
Yeah, their first album is so much.
Scott knocks down Como and looks to Sex Bomb.
Scott, let it go.
Don't worry. I know what I'm doing. Steven, the new lineup rocks. You guys sound better without me. Young Neil, you've learned well. From this point forward, you shall be known as Neil. And Kim?
Kim looks to Scott, deadpan as ever.
Sorry about everything.
Kim shrugs.
Sorry about me.
Kim smiles at Scott for the first time ever.
Scott Pilgrim!
Scott turns to Gideon on his throne, Ramona at his side.
Hey, buddy! Welcome to the chaos!
Save it. You're pretentious. The club sucks. I have beef. Let's do it.
Scott goes straight into fight mode.
You want to fight me for her?
Ramona and Scott lock eyes. Strange new power overcomes Scott, different than before.
No. I want to fight you for me.
Scott reaches into the heart, from the heart design printed on his ratty t-shirt and pulls out a flaming red sword from his old chest.
Scott earned the power of self-respect.
Kim?
We are Sex Bomb, and we're here to watch Scott Pilgrim kick your teeth in.
I think the actual one was kick your ass.
It's kick your teeth in.
Is it?
Yeah.
Kim drives a hardcore beat. Sex Bomb rocks the fuck out. Hipster attacks Scott Pilgrim to the beat. Scott swings his flaming red sword, exploding in each attacker into coins.
Ramona, my cane.
Ramona hands Gideon his cane. He unsheathes his sword. Scott and Gideon run towards each other, leaping in the air. They pass in the air and Scott slashes. They're then on opposite sides of the platform, backs each other.
How's it going back there?
You dick.
Gideon falls down. Dead, apparently. Scott calls down.
Knives, I know you're in here. Don't attack
Knives sails through the air and kicks Ramona in the head super hard. We hear a metallic clunk. They score off. Ramona staggered. Knives pulling out knives.
Still my boyfriend? Taste my steel.
Scott jumps between them, hands held out.
Enough!
Knives tries to go around him. Scott grabs her wrist. She kicks him in the face.
Ouch.
No, Scott. This fat ass hurt me and I will have my revenge.
No, Knives. I hurt you. I cheated on you.
Knives steps back, stunned.
You cheated on me, Scott?
I cheated on both of you, and I'm sorry. I was a different guy back then, 3 days ago.
I don't even recognize that person anymore, whoever that person was 3 days ago.
Shane Dawson.
Scott.
I'm Jeffree Star.
Everyone.
Yeah.
And you're not a fat ass. She didn't mean that.
Hell, I didn't.
So are we all good?
Ramona rubs the back of her head. The chip no longer blinks.
Never better.
Are we all done with the hugging and learning? I thought we had a fight going on here.
All turn to see Gideon, bloodied but still grinning, lopsided slash across his face, accenting his smirk.
Oh, you got a fight already. All right.
Scott steps into a fighting stance. Knives joins him.
Ramona. Are you with me?
Ramona looks to fight to Gideon, then joins Scott and Knives and strikes a fight pose, and the three of them ready to rumble.
See, this would have been a better start to the fight, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong move, baby.
Scott attacks with a sword. Gideon blocks, disarms Scott with one move, spins and butts Scott in the face with the hilt of the sword. Scott tees on the edge of the pyramid. Knives throws her knives. Gideon's lightning fast sword deflects them. Shing, shing. Gideon wheels around towards Ramona, expecting her to move. She looks doubtful, takes a hesitant step towards him. She grins.
Yeah, you're still my girl.
Ramona steps up to Gideon.
I hate this line so much.
Let's both be girls.
Ramona knees Gideon.
Not that breathy.
Let's both be girls. Shut up, Caleb. You get to be sensual. Let me do it. Fuck off. Stay in horny jail for all I care.
No, it's fine. I'm good. I'll be out in
2025. When they come to do your makeup.
The Backstreet Boys have stopped touring.
Oh, God.
In America.
Gideon swings his sword at Ramona. Knives whips off her scarf, using it to wrap up Gideon's sword arm and disarms him. Scott and Knives punch Gideon in the face in a volley of freeze frames. Knives kicks Gideon in the stomach, and Scott falls with a punch to the nose, sending Gideon sliding across the floor. Gideon gets back to his feet via backflip. He shakes off the assault and grins.
You made me swallow my gum. That's swallow me gum? Wait.
Yeah.
No, I'm not reading it.
You made me swallow my gum.
You made me swallow my gum. Yes, it was my $1 million.
SpongeBobby boy, you made me swallow me gum.
You made me swallow my gum. That's going to be in my digestive tract for 7 years.
Oh, God. Gideon throws a series of wushu moves that give him.
Okay. He does up. Do hand signs. His I could.
No, you, okay. Don't do it. Don't listen to your cellmate in horny jail.
Yeah, no, but she got transferred to pun jail.
She was still your cellmate at one point.
Yeah, your former.
I'm now in Weeb jail. Let's go to Weeb jail, folks.
Don't go to Weeb jail.
I'm already there. I'm a longtime resident.
His glasses glow, his health bar increases. He makes an X with his fingers and draws a new power-up sword. He cuts big arcs at Scott, Knives, and Ramona. They barely dodge him. Scott spies his sword and picks it up just in time to block Gideon's attack. The swords create an X. Ramona kicks. Gideon blocks, knocking her down. Gideon swings at Scott. Scott ducks. Knives attacks and scores a hit. Gideon hits her back, dropping her. Scott attacks. They fence. Gideon spins low. Scott leaps in the air. Gideon spins up again, swings upward. Scott blocks with his sword and is sent up into the air. Gideon jumps after him. They clash in the air. Scott's sword shatters. Scott lands hard. Gideon lands in front of him and raises his sword for the kill. Ramona swings Gideon's velvet rope, canceling out. What? Gideon's digital sword? What the fuck is going on?
After Scott's sword shatter, he falls hard and is about to like go for the kill, but there's a velvet rope, I guess, at the end of the pyramid or at the top of the pyramid with a VIP, and then she just swings it at him. Okay.
Canceling out Gideon's digital sword. Gideon slaps Ramona in the face and sends her painfully tumbling down the pyramid. She lands painfully at the bottom. Knives and Scott share a look. They get up and circle Gideon. Combo attack. Freeze frame punches. Knives kicks and Scott punches, sending Gideon back and forth like a pinball. Kick, punch, kick, punch, kick. Okay, good. Made sure I got that right. Gideon's face smashes with each impact. Ramona rises to see Scott and Knives kicking ass. Scott slides Knives through Gideon's legs from the floor. She kicks him in the back of the head. Then upends him like a wheelbarrow and kicks him in the face, sending him spinning. Gideon lands hard on his knees, defeated. One lens of his glasses cracks. He looks up at the steely-eyed Scott.
Who do you think you are, Pilgrim? You think you're better than me? I'll tell you what you are. A pain in my ass! You know how long it took to get all the Evil X's contact information so I could form this stupid league? Like 2 hours! 2 hours!
Gideon starts to pixelate quite badly. Not long now.
You're not cool enough for Ramona. You're zero. You're nothing. Me? I'm Web's hip. I'm what's happening. I'm blowing up right now.
You're right. I'm not cool enough for Ramona. And you got another thing right. You are blowing up. Right now.
Scott spins and back heels Gideon in the face. Gideon's head explodes, his glasses sailing down the steps of the pyramid. His body follows suit and almighty boom! Shimmering coins rain down. Scott and Knives kiss?
What?
I don't think that happens.
No, because they just look up at the coins. Also, in the movie, Ramona wasn't at all that active in the fight. Because she was just standing there trying to, like,
decide.
Scriptwriter goes to horny jail.
Scriptwriter does go to horny jail.
And Ramona gets knocked down the pyramid after Let's Both Be Girls.
Actually, scriptwriter goes to pedophile jail. Let's
go. No, she's 18.
Doesn't matter.
Whoa.
Okay.
Young Neo. Whoa. Kim.
Oh, I'm so sorry. There goes our deal.
We're still getting paid, right?
Kim points to the falling coins.
There goes our deal.
Oh. Still jumps off stage, picks up coins. The coin rain continues, saluting Scott and Knives in their kung fu poses. They share a smile.
You two make a good combo.
Ramona, awake now, makes her way towards them.
Yeah?
Yeah.
The trio walk down the pyramid steps. Scott picks up Gideon's falling glasses.
The glasses you can defeat glimmer. Me. Oh, sorry.
Gideon's voice echoes.
You can defeat me, Scotty. But can you defeat yourself?
Scott peers into the glimmering lenses, spotting his evil mirror image staring back at him. Glasses dissolve. Scott whips around to face.
Nega Scott.
Nega Scott walks towards Scott.
Negative now. Scott.
Yes. N-E-G-A. Nega. Like Sega. Fringed hair, dark clothes, evil face. Knives and Ramona flank Scott in a fighting stance.
No, this is something I have to face on my own.
The two girls reluctantly exit stage left as Scott walks forward to confront his dark side. Scott and Nega Scott face off, both take a step forward. External warehouse evening. Knives and Ramona huddle in the snow outside the
cafeteria. Why not evil Scott or dark Scott?
Yeah, this is 2010. They're trying to be edgy.
When did Street Fighter 4 come out with Evil Ryu? Like
2010?
So he's fighting at the entrance, word for Scott. Then Scott strolls out with Nega Scott. They chat amiably, shake hands, and part ways. Scott approaches Knives and Ramona.
What happened?
Oh, nothing. We just shot the shit. He's a super nice guy. We actually have a lot in common.
Scott runs his fingers through his hair.
Your hair.
What?
It's getting really shaggy.
Scott's hat appears on his head. He looks totally fricked. I suppose he's freaked.
Yeah.
We're on page 138. They kind of stopped caring about grammar.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah?
I like it.
Knives removes the hat from Scott's head, literally taking his guard down. Mona sees this and smiles.
You do?
Scott smiles.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Scott smiles.
We're almost done. We're almost done, Fen. We got it. I know. We got this. We got this.
He turns to see her, pulling her hood up and walking into the darkness. Scott calls after her, steps tenderly away from Knives.
Hey, where are you going?
Ramona, hoping to slip away, stops and turns back.
I don't know. I should probably disappear.
After all that?
It's hard, you know? I came here to get away, but the past keeps catching up. I'm tired of people getting hurt because of me.
Ramona looks at Knives as she says this.
I think I understand.
Snow begins to fall. Ramona straightens his parka tenderly.
I should thank you, though.
For what?
For being the nicest guy I ever dated.
A critically low bar.
Ugh.
That's kind of sad.
It is kind of sad.
She takes his hand briefly, then lets it drop.
Well, bye and stuff.
Yeah, and stuff.
She turns to walk off again. Scott watches, then hears.
Go get her.
Surprised, Scott turns to see smiling Knives.
What?
You earned it.
No, we
You've
didn't.
Been fighting for her all along.
But what about you?
I'll be totally fine. Besides, I'm too cool for you anyway.
She kisses
his cheek.
There's someone out there for me.
We hear a cough. Young Neil settles in the frame behind her, guitar still in hand. We hear a second cough. Nega Scott also sidles into frame.
Ooh.
Oh no.
Negative Scott's like, yo, can I hit that?
Oh god.
That's awful.
Awful.
It met Brandon into really dark places, and I should not have. I am going to go into hell.
Horny jail.
I am the fucking jailer of Horny Jail. What do you expect me to do?
I've got two pages of this.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. I've got two pages of this script to get through to be the only one who didn't get sent to Horny Jail.
Knives doesn't look back, but her just got to.
Go talk to her before she's gone.
Ramona walks into the night alone, but then...
Hey, mind if I tag along?
Ramona is flabbergasted, we've hit that word too, to see a cheery Scott walk alongside.
You want to come with me?
I thought maybe we could try again.
Ramona smiles. She holds out her hand like in the park scene earlier. Scott takes it. We see the door with a star on it, standing right in the middle of the street, snow swirling around it. Scott and Ramona walk towards the door, sunrise coming up over Toronto, night magically turning to day, winter turning to spring. Over this magical transformation, we hear a lush rendition of Ramona swelling and hear whispers of gospel over Toronto's cell phone airwaves.
Oh my God, can I have blown your mind? Scott Pilgrim totally threw down with Gideon Graves at the grand opening of the Chaos Theater. Yeah, it was apparently awesome.
Oh my God, it was a huge fight. I mean, super fucking coconuts. My little brother kicked a guy's head off. Literally. That's unbelievable. Someone seriously should have been filming it.
Scott and Ramona walk to get through the door, tilt up to the heavens and reveal the continued graphic in the stars.
Continue. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hi, Carly theme song.
Da-da, I can't remember the words, damn it.
I am now the definition of head empty, no thoughts.
Tapped.
I shudder to think how long this took. But thank you for joining me for this fantastic, very long script reading of Scott Pilgrim vs. the World for the 10-year anniversary. Looks great. Bad subject matter. Even worse script.
It does not age well.
Movies that aged like milk.
Yeah. aged like white YouTuber racism apologies.
Aged like white YouTubers.
Oh. As you know, I was Caleb Wade from Good Inventor Presents. You can follow me on this very channel that you're watching this on. Isn't that crazy? I used to do video game uploads, 5 videos a week around 3:30 Central. And you can also follow me at Caleb is Block, KalebIsBelak, on Twitter, and the same with underscores in between Caleb is Block on Instagram. Shall we go in reverse order? So yeah. With Fen first.
Oh, hey, it's me. Hi, I'm Fen. I'm Fenicini. I'm on the internet in a lot of places, it seems, these days. Wild off topic here, but I realize I'm doing a lot. So I'm writing, designing, project managing. Not project managing.
Oh, whoa.
Just managing.
Oh.
Is kind of the role I'm falling into. Yeah, I'm doing too much. But the too long didn't read of this is go follow me on Twitter, I guess, if you want to hear more of my dumb shit. And I'll vent to all these people off stream so I'm not like endlessly showing myself for 20 fucking hours.
Don't worry but about
I,
it.
I took stock today and I'm realizing it might be too much.
Might be.
Might be. You may need a break. I believe it's Amber?
Nate. It's Nate.
Yeah. Oh, right. Because Nate.
Yes. I have been Nathan Server. In the vein of going completely off topic for the things we're plugging, I realized I got my Twitter handle wrong earlier because Twitter never let me change it.
You used your Discord handle, didn't you?
That's what it's supposed to be, but Twitter wouldn't let me change it. So I'm on Twitter at Chianate3000 because I played Neopets. And I actually do have something to plug. I wrote a full mini RPG that I'm going to be putting up really soon called Hamsters in Space.
Bam, 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 bam.
And you should totally check it out. It's going to be on Twitter, and I'm going to be putting it on DriveThruRPG.
Nice. I can't wait to play Dust It. And last but certainly not least, Amber.
Hi.
Okay, yeah, my name's Amber. As like I said before, I'm kind of new to YouTube. It's Chia Pet IRL. It's mostly Chia Pet IRL in most places. I'm also a fan fiction writer. It's for Bleach, so I don't know. Choose wisely, folks. And that's it. I'm tired.
All right. This has been Crendimented and Crendimented Presents. Have a wonderful night. And, you know, if this gets enough traction, maybe we'll do this again. Maybe with a better script. Who knows?
Maybe we'll get out of horny jail next time.
Maybe we'll get out. Maybe I'll break it. Maybe the jailer will.
Maybe I'll get sent to horny jail next time.
Maybe we could do Chicago next time.
Oh, God.
Oh.
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah, that seems like a really good time.
All righty. Bye, y'all.
Bye.